Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 146. I don't got nothing for that.
Dave's panicking, too.
Look at Dave, and
he's
like,
Dave, because the rest of you don't do anything.
Not me, what I did.
Come on, Dave, save me.
I wish I could. I honestly didn't look.
Yeah, neither did I.
But
it's been a whirlwind week for me.
I didn't find anything. I don't think there was anything for
this. Something happened in the magical world of comics
last week or this week for me.
But we should renumber it number one, and then we can start over again, because I wish I'd kind of done this from the beginning.
We're sponsored by Marvel now.
All new podcast now.
All new
I'll have to show you something.
All new Pittsburgh comics.
Somebody's talking about bleeding.
Podcast now.
I saw something today. Pizza Hut is changing around. Yeah. Their recipes for, and they're calling it like Pete's Hut Now or something.
Oh, geez. Well, it's funny because they just did an ad campaign where it's like eat, sleep, something, repeat, which is funny because that's on WWE, Brock Lesnar. That's his motto. It's eat, sleep,
conquer, repeat.
Mm-hmm. So it was just funny seeing that in some of the wrestling people have been going, Pizza Hut, you're stealing their idea. Now they're stealing Marvel's idea. And they're just full of stealers.
Man.
Pizza Hut's just a bunch of stealers.
There are no new ideas anymore. Everything
I
is
thought
just,
you were going to say all new now.
Yeah. Well, now there's no new ideas.
No new now.
Pepperoni not now.
Point. One.
Dot INF.
Yeah. We should restart this.
No, they'll be listening.
We'll take a free pizza from Pizza.
It's not going to start any better.
No, what are we going to do? Start again going, hey, okay. So I have to admit, in the last week, I'm not all that up to date. We left Thursday night and went to New York City for the weekend and got back like at 1 a.m. Sunday, so Monday's kind of a blur, and then Tuesday getting back in the swing of things and everything. So I'm surprised how much I did read before I left.
Did you read on the bus?
No, I didn't, because the lights were out. The lights were, there were no lights. I actually brought a book. The book I brought to read actually was, I think it's called Comic Wars, but it's the story of Marvel's bankruptcy. And I was just kind of interested, because it's all Ike Perlmutter, so I thought it would be interesting to read about that, since now he's in so much in charge right
That's,
now.
That's kind of messed up, going to visit DC and instead reading a Marvel book.
Well, there are no behind-the-scenes DC books.
It's because they got their stuff wired tight.
Yeah, well. But, so, I brought that to read, but I only read, like, 4 or 5 pages. But I did go visit the DC offices, which was really cool. Stuart invited me. Well, basically, I told him I was coming, and he's like, well, you got to come by. So I visited the offices, especially since they're moving this spring. It's kind of like the last shot. I'd seen pictures a long time ago of, like, the little lobby areas or vestibules, and really cool. Like, there was one where it was basically how a comic is made. It, like, had the script, and then it had, like, blue pencils, then finished pencils, then inks, then colored and lettered. Mm. You know, and huge, you know, 6 foot high.
Okay.
Drawing, and it's the same drawing, just showing you it in progress. There was another one that was Metropolis, another floor that they're actually not on anymore, but they haven't released it, was Batman. So it looked like rooftops in Gotham. It was really
cool.
And it was neat. We got there, and he's like, well, you know, hopefully somebody's still here. And then as he says that, Dan DiDio walks by. He's like, hey, because I've met him at numerous of the Comics Pro event things. And so it was neat. We had a neat talk, went into his office. It was neat because the whole family's there, so they weren't talking shop per se. He was being very general but good. But, like, I saw the Convergence whiteboard. What it means, I don't know.
Did you take pictures?
I did not. They said no pictures, please. And I didn't want to get thrown out right there.
No.
But it was very cool. His office, I mean, he has so many books in his office. It's amazing. Just stacked, you know, just piles.
Any Marvel books?
There probably were some in there. I know Stewart had some in his office. But I mean, they're still comic fans. You know? But that was cool. So I did see that. One neat thing about that is I've been reading on some message boards, people bemoaning, you know, where all the class, you know, if they're going to bring back the new 52 characters, why don't they have any of those old creators who worked on them and stuff? Relax. It's coming. I saw some names.
I thought that there was. For Convergence, they were bringing back...
They are, but I guess there weren't enough... You know, people were getting upset, but I know they just released some more information today. I haven't really had a chance to look at that.
Internet always getting butthurt over something.
They are, pretty much, yeah.
Because
one of the things he was saying, it's like, you know, this is kind of, you know, we're bringing... He's like, we're doing some pre-New 52 stuff, and I'm like, you can't do that. You know, he's like, we can do whatever we want.
Or KC. So,
yeah, so it was just kind of funny.
I'm the Dio.
So he's, well, not so much that, but kind of
swear
saying,
to me.
Yeah, but kind of saying they're doing this and there's, not that there's no rules, but he's like, you know, we're having fun with it. You know, this is, you know, you
my
want these
God
characters,
this
here you go. So, and then we went into Marie Javin's office and she, I guess, is like one of the main people working on it. And she had a whiteboard with everything. She even had Grant Morrison's map there with a big circle where our Earth is, or wherever okay. this is happening is.
You are here, Arrow.
Yeah, so it was really neat. But the coolest thing in Dan Didio, he had a copy of the Multiversity of Pax Americana that came out today and gave it to me. So I got to take it and read it. I read it Friday night in the hotel room. We'll get back to that because that was awesome. But and then it was mostly just like he was just kind of showing us around, you know, where the different departments are. You know, here's the Bat editors, here's the Superman editors, and there were some guys, you know, waving hi. Saw some of the people, especially in the sales department, people that I knew. But like he took us into the production room where they were actually putting, like they had the, you know, the scan files from the artists in, and they're in there working on them. Like if, you know, he's like, they're all artists themselves. And if a Superman shield needs or logo needs modified because it's not quite right, they can go in and fix that.
Oh, okay.
He also had, some of the art pages there that they used to scan in. And he had one Convergence page. And then it was a 2-page spread from Romita from the Superman. So I guess Romita still works pencil.
Okay.
On paper. And it was funny because it was a 2-page spread, you know, taped together to make it into one big thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to sell for about $3,000, you know, once it's published. So be careful with that. But it was just neat, you know, going around.
Can I have that?
Yeah, yeah. And then they took me, I got to go into the...
That'd be a great souvenir, Stuart.
No.
Everything in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
That'd be a good souvenir.
Yeah. I got to go into the library where they have...
Dana Dio's the souvenir.
Yeah. He's like, can I borrow that?
They have a library where it's neat. They have every trade ever published and every print of every trade. So, like, you see some books, and there were 5 or 6 copies, all with, like, subtle changes to the logos on the spines. But they also have a copy of every comic they've ever published. Most of them are kept in, like, books. Like, they bound the actual comics into hardcover books. But then they also had another file copy of each issue. Now, they didn't have all of them, but they had most. And then I was able to get my picture taken with Action Number 1 and Wonder Woman Number 1, I held Detective Number 1 and Detective 27, Mad Number 1. So they had those kind of in a file drawer, almost to show people, you know, here, you know. So that was cool. So took some pictures there. That was neat.
This is the copy that people have touched.
Yeah.
They're like, now you can have your camera back.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. Can have the camera back. And I'm like, oh, you know, I asked if that was a door prize or a, you know, a thank you.
Yeah.
You could tour the office, but you have to have a blindfold on.
Yeah.
A bag over his head.
But it was just really neat. You know, went through the Vertigo area. And each area has a conference room that's kind of made up for their stuff, which was kind of fun. And it's neat, the big, like, the walls outside the conference room are glass, but then they have big, most of them had, like, big Jim Lee prints, I guess, on them, you know. So it's not just a glass door. It's got, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash.
Don't have, like, a big Hall of Justice? And...
No, nothing quite that cool.
See, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I was hoping that's where you went.
The Hall of Justice? Yeah. Okay. Gleek is the janitor.
Justice League table with all their chairs and the logos on them.
I assume cool. That's what they...
That's what, if I was in charge...
Maybe the new one out in California will have
that. Wouldn't
that be awesome? If I was the CEO, that's what we would do. We'd have a big table and each person would have their chair. I'd always be Batman because I'd be in charge. Yeah. Well, you've never seen me and Batman in the same place, have you?
But, so yeah, it was just... That was really... Neat. Really good time. I had
it's over there. He's on the shelf.
What?
He's everywhere. Batman.
Oh, okay.
Cyborg. So, I have seen him.
You might be Cyborg.
I might be.
You're Cyborg.
But then we...
Cyborg's just creepy when you think about it.
He is.
And then Saturday, the girls went off to do their thing, and Deck and I, we went to Midtown Comics, which was right near it. So it was kind of funny. It's like, oh, Midtown Comics, and I'm walking around going, okay, yeah, I have all this stuff. You know, there's nothing here exciting to me. I have, you know.
My place is better.
Did you wear your Pittsburgh comic?
I did not. I did not.
See, I'd have done that.
No, it was funny. I did.
Wearing
I wore
that shirt, taking pictures of things.
Yes.
Mic drop.
I wore my Green Lantern shirt on the tour just because I didn't know what else to wear. I'm like, do I need to get dressed up to go tour?
Should
the
I wear
DC
my
office?
Batman costume?
No.
You know, is that too much?
Oh no. So
they want to let you in after that.
Yeah. No, but so I had, but it was just funny, and it was
like the cardboard mask.
Yeah.
Stewart's like, no.
Well, actually, it was kind of neat. I got a goodie bag, and in the goodie bag was one of the masks and a cape. So now I have my own cape after giving them all away. So
what,
that was kind of cool.
What else was in that goodie bag?
There was a Harley Quinn variant, like a New York Comic Con variant.
Just saying.
Didn't you get a cape?
The one that you broke out of war.
Yeah. Bring that back. I'll give you this one. It's still on the little cardboard. Just some that, and then it was kind of funny because he had all these trades, and he's like, you know, anything I have a double of, you're welcome to. So I did take two.
So what'd you bring us?
I didn't bring you.
Go all the way there. No. See all this cool
even
stuff.
Beaker? Colin, wow.
Well, it's not...
So, sorry. But and I got a new business card holder.
What'd you pick?
Joe the Barbarian, because it's Sean Murphy and I'd never read it. And then I asked for a copy of Crisis, because I hadn't read that since it was in issues, and I'd like to have a copy at home. Because the problem with it's such a dense book, and I don't want to read one of my copies, because I know I'll kill the spine trying to read it. So... And I want to reread it. I haven't read it since it came out in 85. So those I kept at home. So not a lot. And then he gave... My son was intrigued by Mad. He'd never read Mad. So he gave him like 15 Mad issues.
Oh, he went. Let's see that day.
Yeah. Oh, everybody. The whole family was there. And they enjoyed it, except when I started talking shop with Vince a little bit.
Your son doesn't read comics, does he?
Not really, no.
No, but you're not a man until you've read Mad Magazine.
Yeah, so there was lots of 10-year-old boy giggling on the Megabus on the way home. So I knew
that's a good pickup,
we'd won, yeah. He was giggling, and then Sandy's looking, and she starts giggling because he's giggling. So,
did he do the fold in?
I don't know if he figured that out yet. So we'll see. But so that was really, really enjoyable. And then on Saturday, like I said, we went to Midtown, and like I said, it was just kind of I have all this stuff. It wasn't that exciting. They have a ton of statues, like a ton. But I wish I had their bookcases. But I mean, like, they had the life size Iron Man and, you know, the stuff like that.
The stuff that no one can afford.
Yeah, that you just wonder.
If you move all that stuff in the room back there, you can afford it.
Yeah, true. But, and then after that, we went to they have this special Avengers Discovery exhibit, which basically you go in and you've just been recruited to be a new member, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And it was kind of funny because they're walking back and forth, you know, like S.H.I.E.L.D. people, you know, and you do this, da da da, you know, and because we don't want to get infiltrated by Hydra again. And just little things. So then you go through, and it's basically they just have all the costumes. It's okay. All the movie costumes and all the movie props are there. It's like they had the, like the first one's Captain America, and they have like his first USO outfit.
Okay.
And then the regular outfit, they have the little cryo chamber where they made him or whatever the thing that, you know, that's there.
Can you get in it?
No. No, it's all behind glass.
Oh, okay.
And it was interactive, which was kind of neat, but it's like you stand on this thing and it takes your height and weight and shows you comparison to Captain America before and after and stuff like that. It was okay. It was neat. Dave out of Big Bang on Facebook asked me, his wife wanted to go, is it worth, you know, going to New York for? I'm like, no, it's not that cool. You know, it was like 20 minutes, you know, nothing too exciting. And then
crying a little bit.
Yeah.
But I want to see how big I am.
Yeah. But
why does he ruin everything? It's a Marvel.
But then
he lied to me.
Yeah. Well, so no, it's awesome. I'm not wanting you to go to New York and go, that's it. Cause it kind of was, that's it. You know, lots of, you know, they had a little gift shop and it was kind of funny. It's just like, oh yeah, you're selling trades and stuff that you're crazy. Why do you have that particular one? But
the Walmart versions,
yeah, kind of. But then after that, this is next step. This really doesn't have anything to do with New York. But we went and saw Big Hero 6. Did anybody else see Big Hero 6?
No,
no, I don't want to see it though.
Yeah, I
want to
see it.
Big Hero 6 was great.
Okay,
fun, really neat movie, really neat characters. So I've never read the book because it was never a trade, and the issues kind of. I'm sure I had them, but I know they've all gone. And it kills me, and it makes me realize just how much Marvel doesn't get it in the fact we should have a Big Hero 6 book. We should have their next adventure as a team. Not necessarily that's going to affect the movie, but kids are going to want these characters and these stories about all of them, because there's six of them. So you could even have, you know, one book for each character or whatever. And just the fact that we have...
I saw that Baymax character. Yeah. I mean, that was, like, built for toys. Yeah. And at least
well,
the trailer...
Well, toys, I'm sure the toys are...
Well, but like,
I mean,
the trailer was like, okay, this yeah. is going to be their big character.
Yeah. But it's like, I have nothing. You know, they're going to come in, you know, Disney owns Marvel, here's your big thing.
Well, I have the nothing. Movie doesn't have, like, the trailers or marketing hasn't said Marvel at all.
Yeah.
For that.
Well, even... No. It doesn't matter. Disney owns Marvel.
I should say, like, I remember the way the marketing works. Yeah. People wouldn't even think to come in here and look for it.
Well, that could be. But if the kids came in and saw it,
yeah.
they'd go crazy.
Well, yeah, they came in and saw
you know, they, it. That, you know what? That doesn't say Marvel on it either. That Frozen book you just bought. You know, because Marvel that's has not.
I don't
Marvel.
Think, but I think what he's saying is they're not going to assume it's a comic book even. Like, yeah, kids aren't yeah. going to even know.
That's why I don't understand why Marvel wouldn't.
Well, right, but I mean, I have an Angry Birds comic. Nobody's coming in for it. They just go, oh my gosh, an Angry Birds comic.
Yeah,
buy.
But if it's a Marvel property, but if you why wouldn't Marvel put their logo
on it? I agree.
If they put Marvel on it and then say, you know, the kids would be like, oh, it's Marvel, and then maybe yeah. there is a comic, yeah. and that would lead them.
But I just think they're missing a huge opportunity. And I know that Marvel has the opinion that kids' books don't sell. And, right, kids' books don't sell like Spider-Man.
But they're a gateway.
But SpongeBob outsells She-Hulk for me. Sonic outsells Mighty Avengers, you know, so depending, well, no, but I'm saying, so what you're basing, I don't know what they're basing it on, but there is a market for the kids' books, and I so wish.
Was it a Tsunami book?
I honestly have no idea.
I don't know, like, I know nothing about
it. I mean,
it
definitely was very Japanese.
I have like a first issue, I don't know if it was the very first appearance, but it was Sunfire. In Big Hero 6.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Okay, I don't think that it's not the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Baymax, he has like the green body armor on. I don't know. He has okay. that in the movie.
In the movie, he does. He has some armor. But it was just. I'm just going, man. I wish there was something
to do,
you know, that I had, and I just don't understand. And it makes me realize that, you know, and we still don't have, you know, how an Incredibles book would do well. The Muppet stuff did great. Yeah.
There's an Incredibles movie in the works, supposedly.
Is Incredibles Disney?
Yeah.
It's Pixar. Yeah, it was Pixar. Yeah.
But it just kills me because Boom had the Pixar license and then Disney bought
Marvel
and they revoked the license. And it's like all this stuff, you know, Finding Nemo, all these things. And they've done nothing with it. Cars. Don't tell me a Cars book
Disney
for a three-year-old couldn't sell.
Are the Disney comics, the ones that are out there, published by Marvel?
No. There are no Disney comics out there.
They canceled them after...
oh, really?
There
all the ones
nothing.
That are over there are old?
Yep.
Boom had it, didn't it? Kaboom.
Yep. There's no Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Darkwing Duck.
There was an Uncle Scrooge book that came out.
Those were hardcovers published by Fantagraphics.
No, the one that came out, though, on Free Comic Book Day.
That was a Fantagraphics promoting their hardcovers.
Okay.
There was a Scrooge book on Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always a Scrooge book on Free Comic Book
Day. I tried to get here earlier, man. I ordered like 100.
He was here all day with the rest of us.
I came late because you said you needed help in the afternoon, and then you needed help whenever you got here.
And then
you
gave a Wonder Woman tag. Oh, no, that was me. Gave me a Wonder Woman tag to wear.
Well, I missed all the stuff in the morning.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If you'd have gotten here earlier, you'd have gotten a Batman one.
I was here
but
earlier.
What a rough that woman calling.
I'm sorry. But, so, yeah, that's just my anti... Yeah.
We're done here.
Yeah. Mic drop, bam. You know.
Smash.
But, so, yeah, that's just my... I just feel like they're really missing the boat. I mean, Boom, even now, is like with this Lumberjanes and the Bein' Puppy Cat and regular show and all this stuff is just doing well with the kids' books. I just don't understand why Marvel slash Disney won't do it.
Were the Disney books under Kaboom?
It was just Boom at that point.
It was Boom
I don't think there
point.
Was a Kaboom.
Okay, and then... Now, after that, they decided, I guess, to pick up a lot of the Cartoon Network stuff, or did they have it at the same time?
No, I think that's been since, mostly.
So, once Disney lost, they went on to another thing, which does very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But,
at all.
Yeah, I mean, when the movie ended, I'm just like, I'd love to read more adventures of these people. You really got to know them all.
Okay.
All the characters. Knew
but
none
then
of
them. Star Wars, they're doing. They're not, are they doing as much as Dark Horse was doing?
Well, it's hard to tell right now because we haven't even started, but I think there's going to be, like, one ongoing and some minis.
They were announcing a lot of, like, different creators.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're making such a big deal about this, and then all the Disney stuff, they don't really care. Because, as you said before, they're not really into kids' comics.
Yeah.
So I think the Star Wars stuff focuses on an adult audience. So that's probably why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in their defense, just a little bit. I mean, kids' comics are a little harder for you to sell. But
sure, but you know
if
what?
You give them
then
something that they
license
can.
It back to Boom.
Yeah, seriously.
Boom
why
was
take it
paying
away from
them money to do comics based on their stuff.
Yeah.
Marvel's doing nothing.
Yeah, well, they just want to have it so the other person doesn't have it. That's
I don't
that's
know.
Really crappy business.
They came
really
out with
is.
A couple magazines, like magazine size things. Reprinting some of the Boom stuff. And the, I think Muppets, they came out with an omnibus, $100 Muppets omnibus. Great. Because all the kids are going to run like that. You know,
what parent isn't going to buy their kids $100 Muppets
yeah,
omnibus?
Nobody. It's, so I don't know what they're doing.
I'll watch Muppets are meant to be on television.
We were going
to
buy it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank goodness you said something.
I know, right? I don't want it, guys.
That would have been awkward.
So, Big Hero wants it now.
Okay. I'll take it, John.
But,
$100 on.
But go see Big Hero
so
6.
Greedy, Dave.
But
jeez.
Don't read the comics because they don't exist.
Except for the ones that exist that you don't have.
Right. That nobody has. And that they didn't even reprint in a trade when the movie came out. Yeah, let's not do that. But
maybe you should make a Big Hero
but,
6.
But, oh, wait. They mentioned Inhumans maybe on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, so we're going to send
read
you.
A lot.
What?
You could be Big Hero 6.
Yeah, so we're going to...
Starring Colin as Baymax.
No, I only wear red on...
We're Big Hero 5 here.
It's my good luck.
That's true.
Almost every time I see you, you're wearing
red. We need a
only
person.
On Wednesday. That's because you only see me on Wednesday. My wife one day said I look good in red, so I wear it on Wednesday.
And then he left,
so I look
and
good.
She was just like, yeah, I believe that.
Was
actually,
it
makes him look awful.
Was it on April 1st she said this?
No.
Was she watching Star Trek before? Maybe she...
Oh, she was hoping for your demise. Wow. Colin, that's awful.
Was this before or after she saw The Basement?
She never... This was long before because she never saw The Basement until you invited her down there.
Plus, she's not really a Star Trek person, so I doubt that. One day she watched Star Trek.
Got me in
trouble. Saw one episode with... a red shirt being killed, and she was just like, yeah.
Colin, why don't you wear a red shirt?
You wear red. You look really good in red. Is that how it went, Colin? Podcast over.
I hate you guys so very, very much.
See how we create a title every time? This podcast is called Podcast Over.
It took 22 minutes.
And that's it. That's my guess.
So one other thing I did in New York. Now this didn't really do, but we left at 11 at night and got in at 7 in the morning and couldn't get into the hotel until 2.
You slept on a park bench?
No, we wandered the city, walked up in through Central Park. One cool thing you'll appreciate this: there was an episode of Doctor Who that was filmed in New York City, and they were on the rock on this one rock having a picnic. And as we walk up, I saw the rock and I recognized. I'm like, wait a minute, this is the exact same rock where they filmed this. So I thought that was kind of neat. But walked around and then after the tour, I was kind of spent. The girls went down to Macy's and Deck and I just kind of sat and I read the book and then we watched wrestling. He fell asleep and then wrestling ended at 10 and I'm like, oh, I wonder what's on. And boom, cut Constantine live.
Oh, okay.
So I never watched TV live. So not it. I'm against it. No, I just, timing-wise, never works out, especially in hockey season. But, so I got to watch that episode. That was by far the best episode of the season.
I really liked
mm-hmm. it. And the first one to really catch Constantine, and it, from what I understand talking to Kyle, that was issue one. That episode was basically issue one of Hellblazer
okay.
from back in the 80s.
Okay.
I read it a very long time ago, so I don't remember. But it's the first one that really had the feel of Constantine. The first sacrificing a friend.
Yeah.
Which is exactly something that he would do. Not mean, but I enjoyed how at the end, you know, Zed was yelling at him, you know, you killed him. And he's like, he came to me.
Yeah.
You know, the problem existed before me. This was the only way to deal with it. But it was just nice showing him harsh, not having a happy ending.
But at the same time, at the end, he stayed with him the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yeah.
It wasn't like...
Which in the comic, he probably wouldn't have. In the comic, he more would have walked away and gone to the bar, had a drink, gone, gosh, I feel bad about him, and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But that really... Because I remember the first one had him being more like an exorcist and stuff. And it's like,
that's not
what he does. I get where someone might get that idea. but he knows how to deal with demons and knows the Latin just to deal with demons. He more wants to play. But that episode, I thought,
I like
was
the drug
very
part
good.
When he uses the drug and then he's just like, he's like, you might want to rest this one off. He's like, this isn't my first rodeo or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That was, oh, that wasn't Papa Midnight. That was
some
other guy.
That's some guy.
No, yeah. No,
Papa Midnight's
yeah.
in the next episode,
yeah.
though.
But then they're like teaming up.
It's a team up.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I just want to mention
yeah,
that one I
I'm
thought
with you
was
on that.
Really
that was
good.
My that had to be
yeah.
like the one
yeah.
the
I've been very pleasantly surprised by this show.
Yeah,
I
overall.
Think
I am too, yeah.
Leading mm-hmm. up to it, that I would enjoy this show at all. When I saw the trailer, I thought it looked terrible. And
it's kind of funny. Like, my dad really likes the
really?
Show. Yeah, and he's not into it. Like, he really likes to watch it. He just...
But like that,
he's wanting to know more.
That Pennsylvania one was a very X-Files feel to
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. He has an X-Files feel to
yeah.
the show.
The Papa Midnight one was okay, but it, like someone else said, I thought was really good. I don't remember if it was here or online that I read it, but that it felt like it was a story about the record.
Yeah.
And this just episode happened to deal
yeah.
with Constantine, but it was more like this. It felt
it
like
an
anthology. Yeah. So that one had that problem. Not problem, but just wonkiness. But this one, I thought they really hit
I
their
was
group.
Worried the show would be like CW's Supernatural.
Yeah, but it's
not.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. And it all depends on the channel.
Yeah,
it really
like
does.
They actually get, you know, kind of graphic with some
the feel.
It's,
I
yeah,
think,
it's kinda
I think, you know, it's funny. I think all of these shows are going to make it. Like, I wouldn't see one being bad. I like Gotham and all like that. But my favorite part
Gotham
of Gotham
is starting
that,
to
yeah.
get old for me, I think.
Oh, really? See, I'm thinking
see,
it's
I'm
starting
liking,
to get into
this
I'm
episode this week.
Gotham.
I hated.
Is it because yeah. it focused on... Well, okay. My problem... I didn't like how they did Harvey Dent.
I didn't mind Harvey Dent. I thought they played up Harvey Dent being kind of, you know, intense and a little... you know, extreme too soon.
Yeah, it was too telegraphic of who he's going
to
be.
But it was very, like, the way they did it, though, it was very surprising. Like, you weren't expecting him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was kind of a bit soon for him to do it.
Or maybe what they're trying to show is that's what he already was, and just the acid
well,
splash
yeah.
just brought it out.
Yeah, but I think that for it being the first episode he was in, they should have more played up the, you know,
he
being
had...
the... DA that's trying to clean up the city.
Here, my issue with it, which is what I was talking to Colin about the other day, was that he had no build-up to becoming Harvey Dent. Nothing
yeah.
to release that side. It was almost like it was already there. And
but
thing
that's what the Dark Knight did very
like, I
well.
I could see if it went through, like, through the course of a season where he's trying to do these things and, you know, the criminal...
Yeah,
element
he keeps
in Gotham
failing
is really pushing
that's
against
the
him,
thing.
And that builds
Harvey
up
Dent is a character who is corrupted by Gotham.
Yeah,
after trial and error of trying to fix it.
Yeah,
because he's tries so hard to fix it.
Well, that
no
might go on for a bit too, where he might not be, he might not become Two-Face until season two.
Well, he was
you
just,
know,
but
so.
he was
yeah,
too
right.
Yeah,
yeah. And the coin flip was just too much.
Yeah,
not now.
It's the big thing the show keeps doing is trying to shoehorn in.
Like,
all
if you
of
hint
these...
it, and he is hit with it, but he made too much emphasis at the beginning.
Yeah,
once
like
you meet the character, he's just like heads or tails.
These
it's right, just like
the
you're
writers for the show are so like on the nose with yeah. everything. Like, there's no subtlety whatsoever in the show.
No, not to say
except
that.
For, except for Penguin. Penguin, surprisingly,
yeah,
is graphic as some of his scenes can be.
He's
like,
been the best character on the
is
show.
Some subtlety to how his character. Acts and his motives,
yeah.
but like the whole thing where every time you know Selina Kyle's in there, have
call
to make
Cat.
Reference. Yeah, everyone calls me Cat. Call me Cat. My name is Cat. Like,
yeah,
we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. You're gonna become
yeah,
Cat.
I'm not a huge yeah fan of that. The actress that plays, I've been saying, she does a really good
she
job.
Does a good job. Mm-hmm. The writers are doing her a disservice,
yeah,
and the writers
so
trying
too.
To shoehorn in this relationship between
Bruce
and Selina.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
And I don't even want to really see it.
And
yet.
The whole thing,
that type
yeah.
of relationship yet.
And the whole thing with Gordon and Bruce where Gordon's girlfriend vanishes and his first thought is, I'm going to send you to the billionaire's house. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
In what world would
that
actually...
I've had enough of Barbara. Move
yeah.
on.
I did too. Yeah.
She's my Thea of that show. I just want her to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we don't have her. We don't have Batgirl.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. You just
She's
have
not
some...
Batgirl's mom.
Barbara was.
They named Barbara after Barbara?
I always assumed.
No, she was
her.
James Jr.'s mom. I don't think she was Barbara's mom.
She's,
no.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
Barbara's
I thought
mom.
She was Barbara's mom. It's not Sarah Essen.
Sarah was in the 90s. She was, okay. And then that's when Barbara wrong, was there.
So. I might be wrong, but it just seems really
podcast
weird.
Podcast over.
When do they name a daughter after the mom? That's
I know,
weird.
It's weird. But
actually,
I've
my mom is named
too.
After her mom.
Is she? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Colin!
We should insult Pat's mom.
Yeah. Give me your Avengers card.
But
God.
Just it's not a comic.
It's the only comic book thing I can take. I could have been like, give me your driver's license, but that wouldn't have made any difference. Podcast over.
God.
I'm not even having any fun. Let's all go.
The I did like the interaction between Alfred and Bruce.
That was fine.
The development of that relationship is good because the first few episodes, it didn't feel like a father son type relationship. Mm-hmm. It was I'm the boss, you're going to do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Whereas it's starting to develop more into a true father son type relationship.
Yeah,
which
Alfred's
is what
good.
They need to have.
I like the actor playing Alfred. I think.
Yeah,
he's being written well, which is one of the few characters I think is being written well right now in the show. But I don't know. It has its ups and downs. Like that show, it aggravates me because there'll be one scene that I absolutely love, and then that scene right afterwards I hate. So.
But I do like that they got away from the corny supervillain, the balloon man type thing, and
the freak of the week.
Yeah, focus on, the overall corruption. Because it's like we said when the show started, Gordon has to lose a lot more than he wins. And at this point in time, you can't have when he's first starting out, have Gotham go into descent that fast, or there won't be anything left by the time Batman comes on the scene. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I think it might have been from last week's episode that I liked, where they were talking about when everything went bad in Gotham, and it was when the Waynes were killed, and then why. So it was kind of, I thought that was interesting way to tie that kind of in.
I didn't... The whole thing about the Freak of the Week you were saying was that I feel like what they're trying to do is give you some sort of sense that this is what Gotham is turning into very slowly. But here's the problem with that. The only reason of the comic books that started to happen was because of Batman. And when Batman came on the scene,
an escalation.
Other things started to see it, which was always a kind of a thing with Batman that's just like, well, if he didn't exist, we wouldn't have the Joker. Well, right. We probably would have the Joker, but he would be something totally
different.
I
feel like with the crime families that they have in the show, and have already, introduced and fleshed out, that they don't need that, frequently. They could have it
right,
between the cops.
And they've been developing that,
But like Zaz.
Kinda, yeah.
Zaz was done well because he wasn't really made to
he
be
fit
a freak.
He fit into the crime family.
Right,
but he has
exactly.
time to develop into the Zaz
that we know.
By Batman time.
Yeah.
Or even, he could start doing that before, a little bit before Batman, but not that soon into. That's why I don't want to see people like Harvey Dent yet. I don't want him turning into Two-Face because it's not time. It's not time for him to do it. Really, I wouldn't want to see him at all as Two-Face in this. I want to see subtle hints that he's becoming something, that the city's starting to corrupt
him a
little
bit.
Yeah, he
should start to see, some...
You should see him go downhill after a while.
And I didn't realize, maybe it's just over the show, that Harvey Dent's that much older than Bruce. I thought they were pretty much the same.
Yeah, I thought they were contemporaries.
And that's the ages on a lot of these characters. Are
like Riddler, I'm fine. I don't have a problem with him being older.
Yeah,
but I thought that Batman's supposed to be around for the beginning of Harvey Dent, like his downfall, and then becoming Two-Face.
He is supposed to be. I would have seen Two-Face at the end of the series.
Yeah,
because if you go back to Long Halloween, that's when all of this started happening. That it was Batman, Harvey, and Gordon.
Yeah,
figuring out how do we end crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of different. That's why I was saying at the beginning of the series that I was like, too much about the mob families, and then I feel like Bruce should have been a little older. We should have been in the future a little more. I feel because then it would have seemed more right if you do introduce these characters. Then again, it just feels right to me because I'm used to year one where Commissioner Gordon shows up and he comes from Chicago.
Yeah.
And he gets the job in Gotham. And he tries to fix it up and then he figures out about this vigilante. And
but in year one, he's already.
Yeah. And then they team up with Harvey Dent. They try to solve the issues. Then by doing this, by Harvey Dent sacrifices himself pretty much to the corruption and becomes some totally different monster, and that's where it goes from there. So a lot of things from this show you're seeing too early, that it goes back to what Pat was saying, where what's the point of having a Batman after all this is solved? I mean, you're going to have all this time in the show, and by the time, is he going to solve it? No. If he does, why is there a Batman? You know, it gets to that, and that's the whole thing. But it's a lot of overthinking sometimes, but for a show, I think it's a fun show. I mean, I'd rather see less freaks, more just crime, like horrible crime. And then I'd rather see it subtly
turn into
all of a sudden seeing more freaks and more corruption and this. I also don't like, I never like the tie-in of there's something being something huge about the Waynes and the Wayne murder. It was some sort of conspiracy. I've never liked that. It was just a crime.
Yeah, I like it better all just it being a senseless crime.
Some guy shot him, he mugged him.
Yeah.
He it went bad.
I think that says more about the state of Gotham than some big conspiracy or some plan.
Yeah. There was never really, there shouldn't be like a plan for it because why? They weren't that big. Mm. I mean, they were big. They were a big part of Gotham, but not like that. Like, according to the show, like, they died and everything starts to, you know, fall apart. Like, hell was breaking loose from the... You
didn't know that the Waynes kept everything
foundation
together.
Of Gotham. Yeah, it's just really odd, you know. And then if they do, why aren't they played up as much as... They're not really played up as, like, the Waynes did this thing, you know. And they did, you know, they were just shot, and he was a doctor, I guess. They don't talk about him.
Well, they keep telling you how important they were, but not
showing us why they were important. The only thing I know so far is something they had to do with Arkham. And that doesn't make any sense either. Like, they bought Arkham, then they open it as a...
A treatment facility,
and then why? Because I thought they were going to use it for real estate, but then they didn't.
Well, yeah, and I was like, even at the end of the episode, or in the middle of the episode, Gordon says something to the mayor about, and I forget what the bomber guy's name was, needed help, but you shut down Arkham.
Did the bomber have the same name as Killer Croc?
No.
What was his name? Hargrove?
It was Hargrove,
Hargrove. Who's that's a
Jennings
name Batman,
is.
Isn't it?
I looked.
Is that that bone guy that was in the Zero Year? Wasn't his name Dr. Hargrove?
Now that you're saying it,
it does sound familiar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounded familiar through that. I don't know.
But like, it seemed, you know, that case took a week or whatever it took, and then all of a sudden Arkham was redone, and they were bringing people in. Like, they have the best contractors ever. I couldn't even get a kitchen remodel in a week. They remodel an entire building.
They had the mafia with a gun in their head, and they were just like, you're going to redo this, and they got it done.
You don't have Wayne money, Pat.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
I don't know. It's a good show, though. I can't say it's a bad show. It just has its subtleties.
You're right. It's a fun show. I think I get frustrated because I really want to like the show
a lot. It's not quite the Batman and the Gotham that you know. And I think that's what it's a problem more with us, as opposed to people I'm sure that aren't like Batman people, like hardcore Batman readers.
Yeah,
that can watch it and say, "Oh, this makes sense," because I know Harvey Dent, you know, and it works. Yeah.
I wanted more of a Gotham Central show, and when I see things like this, I get more of a Smallville.
You're getting like an early Batman origin.
Yeah,
like before Batman's origin story.
It's before Batman.
Just
before Batman Begins. That's
Bruce Wayne's origin.
There was something though before I was gonna say about Constantine, but we went to Gotham. My favorite scene of Constantine of that night was the when he was standing at the museum. He was about ready to throw the thing into the glass
and
door.
And it stops. Yeah.
And then he comes over to him, and that's when I knew, like, it was Constantine. Like, it felt like the Constantine he's supposed to feel like, is when the angel says to him, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I know what he's doing. Like, and then as I said,
that's when you knew it?
Well, kind of, because...
As soon as they were in the bar, I knew what was coming.
I didn't necessarily know when he says, like, "Are you sure this is what you're wanting to do?" And that without saying what they were going to do, I said, he's going to sacrifice.
In the bar, I didn't think that.
I thought it in the bar.
I mean, you could. I could see how you could, but it wasn't until. I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking, I wasn't thinking he was Constantine from the books. You know, I was thinking he was more Constantine from this TV show, who hasn't done anything that like that.
I threw it straight from the movie.
Yeah, or the movie. It's Keanu Reeves. No, it's that. Yeah, that's the moment. Like when he did that, and he stopped him and said, "You sure?" Because I said he's going to sacrifice him. Because I said that's what he's asking. Are you sure you want to sacrifice him to do this? And then the angel didn't seem to have a problem with it. When he had, like, afterwards, he seemed to be like, you know, he was accepting of him doing it. I think it's because...
Well, because I think it's...
Means to an end.
Daniel knows Lester. It's the right thing to do, like, to...
Yeah.
To get rid of the demon, but still knows
do you
the,
want to do this
knows the
soul
effect
again,
that
it can
have on Constantine as well.
Because he's already basically on the... He accidentally sacrificed somebody else.
Yeah.
To do this, is this is what you're wanting to do? Yeah. Sacrifice another friend?
Yeah, but you got to look at what's he going to do? Go to hell twice?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's ready.
You know?
But I don't think it's necessarily him going to hell. Is the fact that everybody dies around you? Is there a reason more to this?
Yeah,
you know, this is why you're going to sacrifice him. But then he's just like, I have nothing else to do. Do you have? Does it have to be you that makes a sacrifice? Sacrifices this person, you know, and then being that. I get his name was Daniel, right? Daniel Lester.
Yes. Yeah, I think
that
so.
Was the character. His name was Gary. Last name, Gary? Was it Gary
it was
Lester?
Gary Lester, wasn't it?
His last name was Lester. I know that much.
I thought it was Daniel too.
When he accepted it in there, I think that's why he accepted what was going to happen to him. So I don't think it really affects Constantine as much. But no, that was a good scene. That's the part where I was just like, this feels right. Like, that episode was really good just right there. But what else did we
have? Gary Lester.
Was it Gary?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you pay more attention than we do.
Yeah. That's...
right.
Yeah. Flash?
I liked it.
I like Flash also. I
haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched it yet?
Oh, this is my big problem with Flash. When he does finally get Girder, okay, and he puts him in the prison, and he takes his mask off, how many times does he take his mask off in front of people?
Every episode.
He's just like, this is me, I'm Barry, you know? He might as well just wear a name tag that says it, because he just, every episode he loses, like, in the one before Plastic, he loses his entire uniform.
Yeah.
And then has to
lose his identity. That wasn't really his fault, but here's the thing, what makes it worse is this isn't just some random supervillain he doesn't know. This is a guy he knows. He went to school with him.
Yeah. It looked like, when they were in the school... It looked like for a moment he was going to take his mask off, but he was just adjusting it. I thought, oh, thank goodness he's going to take the mask off.
And then he did it.
Still did it.
And who are these people throwing them at the pipelines? You know, they just throw them at whatever prison they want. that's going to go over
due process? Nah, we don't need that.
They're putting them all in the particle collider.
Yeah.
Area.
You're going to mash them all together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. And it's going to... The rogue.
You know, the other thing is... The rogue. Joe is working with them on all this, and he's a cop.
Yeah,
like that can't end well either. Like Joe, if anyone ever
does
finds
he know
out
they're
about
all
this,
in the prison though.
Well, he knows Barry's captured. He doesn't know what he's doing with
that's
them.
True, he does. He captured them. Where are they going?
Yeah,
it's gonna have a Ghostbusters like climax. Someone to come in and shut down the system, and all of them are come out.
Yeah, they all fly.
Pat comes in. He's from the EPA.
Yeah, shuts this down.
He does. Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Ice and fire people. And,
the look for Girder was cool, even though he looked like Colossus from the movies. But I like when they were talking about him, and Dr. Wells says, a man of steel.
And he never calls himself Girder in the episode, but then they call that robot he was fighting Girder.
Yeah.
And then they... Girder was a Geoff Johns character, I'm pretty sure, where they... So he's actually a fairly recent new character for him. I guess he's,
You want a cot? You want to lay down there?
Yeah. I do. I'm tired, man. Did I mention, Katie had a 7:10 orthodontist appointment this morning?
I didn't even know orthodontists were open that early.
So I got up at 5:30. So yeah, I'm dragging a little. So sorry, I was stretching my legs out and I kicked Pat and then I kicked the table. I'm sorry.
My drink fell over.
I'm tired.
You need like an au pair or something.
Oh. No. And it costs money.
Yeah, that just leads to bigger problems. There's no way that ends well.
So, the episode was okay. Like, it wasn't like an amazing episode.
No,
it had some good points.
It wasn't bad.
Best part of it was the end, though, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
It still makes me question who he is, but then it.
I think I got this whole thing figured out.
Go.
Okay. Wells is Professor Zoom.
Okay.
Okay. From the future. Eddie is like his great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, something like that. Iris is the love of his life, something that he passes on to his kids. And, you know, that Flash stole who should have been your grandmother, essentially. So Wells can't kill him before he becomes Flash because he doesn't ruin his legacy that way. So he's protecting him enough to where he becomes the hero. And then once he becomes a hero, he defeats him, and he's ruined the Flash's legacy and got revenge for his grandfather, you know, 8 generations ago.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's the only thing to me that can make sense.
Yeah, I can see that. I just still don't know, though. Like, I mean, I could see where you're going with that, because who else would have known? By the end of the episode, who else knew that he was working on it?
I feel like they're playing it up to make people think that Wells...
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But Wells has done enough... that we've seen him do, that we know he's a villain.
We know he's something.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily know if he's a villain he's doing these things because he has to protect some sort of future.
Yeah.
And this has to happen for some reason. Like, this guy was getting in the way, thus you're in the way of Barry becoming the Flash or something like that. That's my only thing. I don't know, and I don't see this guy. I really don't see this guy in a yellow suit.
I have a feeling that Wells is almost going to turn out to be not a full-blown villain, but almost like an anti-hero, where he's doing certain villainous things to try and press Barry and make Barry better.
Yeah.
I feel like they're playing up too much the thought of him being... Reverse Flash or Professor Zoom, because they want you to think that, but I don't think it's him. I think they're doing too much to make you think it's him.
How else does Zoom show up with Joe at the end? If it wasn't Wells, because no one else knows Joe is working on the case again, unless it's Zoom knows because he knows what the future is going to be. But if that's the case, then why didn't he go back before Joe confronted Wells? And stop him then, or, you know, threaten Iris then. It took place after he confronted Wells, so it's the only thing that really makes sense.
I think, and even this seems too obvious, because I think it's Eddie. What's that his name? Yeah,
but then why does he get so chummy?
Too obvious.
He was very chummy with him and teaching him how to... Unless it goes back to what I said, you have to make him the hero or ruining his legacy didn't happen.
Well, I think that's why he's trying to... I think he's trying to screw up Flash. Like, he's trying to screw up his legacy. And I think that's why he... By the future, he'd know if Barry ended up with Iris. So he worked hard to get... with Iris real quick.
But that's just that he knows the future because he's from the future. So he doesn't have to take the hard route and be a cop and be Joe's partner and all that.
Unless he's trying to get close to him.
But he could have done that in other ways. Without letting him know. Like, he could have gone and worked for Star Labs.
It could be two versions of Eddie, too. The Eddie we're seeing as a copper now is the present day Eddie, and the reverse Flash could be future Eddie.
Yeah, it could be...
Because, I mean, whoever Reverse Flash is, I mean, they're going through...
Well, and that was the other thing. When Joe has a conversation with Wells, you know, he specifically talks about, what if there was a particle accelerator in the past? And he mentions the past a couple times. Well, that doesn't mean there's not one in the future and he doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's knowing... We as comic book readers, we know that time travel is important, and the Flash can time travel. And maybe, you know, the general public doesn't get that, but...
It's just that both theories seem too obvious. You know, they don't seem like... You're like Wells and him. Because Wells seems like the obvious villain.
Okay, there.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Wells is Grodd.
Oh,
man.
Except for we've seen them together.
Yeah, we've seen them together. You've seen them both in the same room. But you haven't seen
what
Batman.
What if they merged when the accident happened?
So Grodd can be Batman.
Then Wells escaped from the cage and put a monkey in there to throw people off.
There you go.
Then wouldn't the monkey... No, then Wells would have the monkey brain.
And then...
The human Wells
no,
would have the monkey
No, he's Monsieur Mala and he's carrying around... No.
He's six-gun gorilla.
That would be awesome.
No, but Monsieur Mala speaks French and carries a brain in a jar. That's his shtick. So, that's where I was going.
A brain in a jar is a stick.
I don't know, Colin. That seems kind of far-fetched to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Comic books are weird. Let's move on. Let's talk politics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not...
What do you think about the economy of that?
Can Wells even speak French?
That's what you got out of all that.
We don't know he can't. We just haven't seen.
And
we know he can walk.
We haven't
seen him
in the same room together.
That's true.
We know he can walk, even though he pretends he can't.
Well, why would he use his legs like a sucker when he's got one of motorized wheelchairs?
Yeah, why? Why would you ever do that?
Come
why?
On. He's got to run like a sucker. Look at all the wind.
What's that song? You got to go, 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 like hover around. Yeah.
Anybody
he got one.
Good.
Medicare paid
keep,
for
keep
it.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody else feel bad for him, though, in the bar when they were drinking? He's just like, I thought we were coming here as friends.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, oh, man, buddy. You're the villain. Police Officer West, you're the villain.
Joe, you're a jerk.
Joe, you're a jerk. Then he got him a bottle of something.
Yeah.
He's like, we're good. You bought me alcohol, we're good.
Two alcohol.
I'm a scientist. This will burn away brain cells.
And then the boxing glove arrow made it stay
still haven't seen that yet. I heard about it.
He goes,
so
grabs it
when you got the tweet.
He grabs it, he sticks it on there real quick and shoots it.
Got busy. You know,
punches
him
in the
face. We were leaving the next night.
Now,
you watch it on the bus.
How did the arrowhead not go through?
Exactly.
Yes.
What kind of arrow did he use?
It would have had to have been a blunted tip.
Did he have one that was able to grab it real quick and be like, this is the bot one? I always question that in the comics. Like, he's like, okay, punching glove, glue, net.
Yeah,
oh,
but
Hawkeye
did the same thing, though, in the Avengers. He was, like, pushing buttons on the bow, and it, you know, had the right one
just
come up.
Yeah.
That works. That was a decent episode. Was that the one when Roy is trying to...
do backflips?
Oh, yes, he did do backflips.
Is that the one when he was like, I killed Sarah?
Yeah,
that's how it started.
That got on my nerves.
And that's why I probably didn't finish it, because it was like, okay, move
on. I had to sit down with him with a candle for 30 seconds for him to realize.
And he's good. Yeah. I know, it doesn't take any training or any of this meditation. You just have to...
Because without that drug in him, you could throw an arrow into her, sure.
Not even like a Yankee candle.
Well, according to him, he was having... issues with the Marikuru or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was out of his system, but could it be like lingering in his system somewhere or something? That was his thing.
He might have burned up the very last bit with, you know, doing that, and it turned out, you know, it was just the cops.
Yeah. It was just the cop.
You didn't kill Sarah. It was just a cop you killed.
It was a cop. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
He had a family, but it was Sarah.
Yeah, but cops get pensions. Sarah, there's no vigilante pension.
Yeah. Exactly.
He helped the economy.
Yeah,
that's awful.
So how about Wildcat? When's he going to get back?
Yeah,
back in the vigilante game.
That's
soon.
Yeah,
that's all we can say. I hope he does. Actually,
okay.
Cool.
So Ollie was on the island for 5 years, or you know, on the island and then in Hong Kong and wherever else they take him for 5 years. So
he went to Disney World.
Yeah, he
was all over the place.
So he had time to train and obviously had incentive to train because that's the only way he was going to survive.
Yeah.
Sarah went to the League of Assassins. She learned how to.
She
do
was
this.
Able to do everything.
I know you're
want.
Getting that.
But she gets 5 years to train. Before the season's over, like in the next two episodes, she's going to be. Laurel's going to be the Black Canary.
She's
like
Laurel,
trained with a boxer for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden she's a super ninja.
Laurel is DC's Sky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how come everybody in Starling City knows how to use a bow and arrow?
Wait. Yeah, that's true. But wait. I wouldn't go that far of saying Laurel is their Sky, because I think that's Roy's position. I really do.
At least Roy was
even
seen
he was just
several
like,
episodes being trained.
I gotta get my bow and arrow ready to go on an airplane. I was just like, no, you can't.
Right, but you
he's
saw,
like, oh, I forgot.
You saw Ollie struggling for months learning how to use a bow. Here's a kid that he picked up off the city street, never touched a bow in his life, has no incentive to use a bow, because it's not like he's going to hunt to eat. And then, here, fire three arrows. Yeah, you're an expert. Here you go, kid.
The whole thing about it, though, is his only special move is not even a full backflip. It's like a
three-quarter twist.
It's like
twist.
A cartwheel of some sort.
Yeah.
And then, it was funny, because in the episode where Ra's al Ghul's daughter, I forget her name.
Nyssa.
Yeah. When she kidnaps Thea. And then he does that flip, and then she just punches him or something, and he just falls over. And I was just like, yeah, that was anticlimactic. Like,
it was the Indiana Jones moment where the guy with the sword just like pick up the gun, fight over.
She's like, it's not even a full backflip. We just know how to do at least a full one. He struggled to get up, and he was facing the wrong direction when he got up.
Ha!
She's behind me. Oh, too late. I'm dead. Oh man, he's just really bad.
He'll kill them by making them, you know, double over with laughter.
Yeah,
they should have him use blue steel.
he could do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's trained enough at that. Abercrombie and Fitch, she's trained in that. But like I don't know. That's a problem with the CW though. Like they get like models. The only character that's really not is Arrow himself, because like he's at least fits and he likes to do the character and he's good. Like he really is good at the character.
It shows more in Arrow than it does in Flash though.
Yeah.
Flash doesn't have the same CW feel as Arrow does.
Yeah, not so much. Mainly because I think they needed characters like that. For the lab and stuff like that. And then, you know, Iris isn't really...
I don't know. There was a couple times I was waiting for the theme from Dawson's Creek to come on. When Eddie was talking to Barry before they were boxing.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this is a real CW moment.
Could they pick the worst child actor, though, to play him in the past, though? That kid looks nothing like what he might grow into.
Well, he seemed a little special, too. It was kind of, I see lightning!
Oh, Pat.
Is that really what he said?
Wow.
Now, last week you complained about what I said. Now you're...
I didn't complain at all last week. I just pointed out...
He did see lightning.
...that you were throwing out some gold mines last week.
Okay. I
complimented you if nothing else.
Okay.
This one you chose to say.
I'm just saying he didn't act... Barry's supposed to be intelligent. And that kid is, he gets the circle of paper and the safety crayon to write on. That's all I'm saying.
Colin gives up. He really has. He's given up.
Well, to be fair, I didn't watch the episode, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would really help.
Colin, your podcasts are so offensive.
I know.
Yeah, to everybody.
Did you watch The Walking Dead?
No, I'm behind on that, too.
Pregnant people?
I'm too behind, I think, now on Walking Dead.
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's changing to something. What?
How about we get into some comics?
Sure.
What?
Maybe that can get us out of a little bit of trouble.
Wait. Go back to Walking Dead for a second. I really like this hospital stuff.
My only problem with Walking Dead has been the order of some of these episodes.
Okay.
Like, I felt like I liked this week's episode, and I was fine with that, but the episode in between Beth's episode and this episode felt really out of place.
The Abraham.
It didn't seem right that they would do
the
Beth thing.
That was
the
last one I saw with the Abraham one.
They would do the Beth thing, then they would do this
completely
standalone, the Abraham episode, and then suddenly tie back into what was going on while after the Beth in the hospital thing.
Yeah. It's
too much jumping around.
It's Beth, Abraham, hospital. Or no, Carol and Daryl.
Yeah, and then the next one goes back to the
Carol
group.
Daryl.
Who's other brother Daryl?
My other brother Daryl.
Larry, Daryl, and Carol.
And the other thing is, it looked like in the Beth episode, there wasn't that much time that passed in between whenever Beth got, captured trying to escape.
Yeah.
And when Carol...
Timing is really weird.
When Carol showed up.
Yeah.
But yet, in this episode, somehow the kid was able to get far enough away and, start to...
But he wasn't far away. He was...
He wasn't far away, but I felt like, I felt like a decent amount of time had passed between when he at least like a week.
You know what, though? Yeah, I think that's like even that. The bigger thing. Why are you not getting farther away? You're like, you can see the hospital from where you are.
Well, no, it took place all at the same time, though.
No, because he
took place the bath and the. Well, no, but it took place this whole episode.
I thought it was
Sunday.
Parallel to Beth.
No, this whole episode
Carol
from Sunday
comes in at the end of the episode of the Beth episode.
Right, but this whole episode from Sunday takes place in between when Dude Man escapes.
Okay.
Noah.
And when Carol
Dude
shows
Man.
Up. And when Carol shows up at the
young Chris
hospital.
Rock.
So it shows up. It shows up during like that 5 minute segment of the Beth episode.
Okay.
That's when this whole episode takes place.
Cool part of that episode, they went back to the first scene of the going into the city.
Yeah.
With Rick on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed you the how
tank.
it's been a couple worse. And then the city's been bombed since then. So there's like holes in the buildings and stuff like that. But
I didn't get that because I thought that everything had collapsed by that point.
What, the city?
Yeah, I thought that they had already abandoned the city by the time Rick showed up.
Yeah, it does seem kind of odd that out of it. Maybe they thought there was so much that they could stop it, but I don't understand their plan there.
Well, one thing I noticed from the Abraham episode is the dead are definitely rotting.
Yeah,
like
they
said that. Their heads are just, you know, like they're just hitting them with a wooden stick and they're exploding. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
There, you know, some of the kills...
Or even the water. Really, the water pressure, like, dissolved them.
That was hilarious.
The, some of the kills are just a little bit ridiculous. That one was okay, though. That one made sense. But, like, when... And some of the sound effects don't make it. Like, he stabbed them, and I heard... I was like, what is that? Like, a water balloon explode? Like, he just stabbed them.
Yeah.
You know, it just... They're a little too much with the sound effects. And then the blood sometimes looks really fake. Like, it looks like it's splattering all over the place.
Yeah.
And
it's
very computer-generated, but...
I feel like it's gone downhill a little bit. I think the
it's a little too cheesy
effects. Realer before.
Now, they said... they did say on something... I don't know if I read it or it was Talking Dead or what. No, I read this, I think. Is that they're purposely making the zombies age now. Like, they're making their skin paler. They look like they're more rotting because time has passed. But it's just like, after a while, there aren't going to be any zombies. So why don't you guys just wait it out and they'll all just fall to pieces and you'll be good. Then you'll have time. But they don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, figure if you can last about 2 months, you're pretty good.
I think they like killing the things. I really do.
Well, but in the comics...
I mean, I could see it being fun.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah.
I think it was in the comics. In the wintertime, they slow down. And then when we got to the wintertime in the show, they never really showed them doing that. Which is, I mean, okay, I get that they're...
I don't think they dealt with the zombies a lot in the winter.
Yeah.
Like when
they
it was
have
wintertime,
cold,
they were
they'll be wearing coats.
Inside.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So like when it got cold, but the zombies didn't slow down.
And then they
or,
never did that in the books again.
Yeah.
That was when they were in the prison.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, they'd slow down, and they mentioned that in it. They'd be like, they're cold, they slow down, or they completely just stop walking. Mm-hmm. But then they don't do anything.
Or I'd go to Minnesota. They just freeze.
Yeah, I guess. Why aren't they going to cold climate areas? That's where they should be going. No zombies up there. I don't know. These people don't think. That's their problem.
Well,
it goes back to the whole thing, and then they just like to kill them.
If we were there, we'd have it figured out.
Yeah.
You know, zombies
like,
in the summer in Atlanta.
They'd be in the
would,
prison, in the cell,
quickly.
Locked in, just going, leave me alone.
Colin would be the first person eating people.
And that's
been
a podcast.
Days, Colin, there's all this food over here.
Yeah. We got cans of beans. And he's just like, I'll be like, no, you're going to have to leave. You're
is
a zombie.
Is your middle name Gareth by any chance?
You'll fit in on the outside better.
Brains?
Instead of Terminus, it'll be Soylent Green.
Terminus, it'll be called Pittsburgh Comedy.
Comics are goo brains.
Pittsburgh greens.
Dave, what did you read last week?
What did I read?
Off guard.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to. It was a transition. Blunt.
That was a poor transition.
Transition.
You need to work on your segues.
I held that in, though.
I read Witches, number 2.
That, got that
was
good
awesome.
Bit creepier.
That was suitably creepy.
Well, now more people know. Well, at least one. But there's more going on too. That
there's more going on. The people. After the attack, Sailor has a some kind of bite or bump on her neck.
Well, she thinks it's an eye.
It's an eye.
She freaked out.
Could be a nose.
Clearly, it was an eye on the cover.
Could be gills.
Colon. It could be anything.
It could be anything, Colin.
That'd be creepy if it was an eye. My goodness.
That's the part that creeped you out. Now, when he said colon growing out of her neck?
No, the eye.
It could be other things that he can't
Whoa. You would rather have a colon growing out of your neck than an eyeball?
Keeping in mind that your nose is in reasonable proximity to said hole.
As Jack Benny says, I'm thinking it over.
But yes.
How are you feeling about your transition right now?
Yeah, Colin, good job.
Pat, what did you read?
No, he's got to continue to talk. Beaker, arts, back to you.
Oh my gosh, the arts by Jocks is fantastic. I love the whole underwater scene, just the splashes of color, and those whatever the witches at the end when they go into the woods. Really creepy, my goodness.
We didn't get any stories from Scott Snyder at the end this time. I figured he'd have tons of horror stories from his childhood.
I know. I wanted to hear more about that, but
it would be like, to be continued. This is what happened when I had to deal with vampires, and it's something. Give me something. So it was really good at the end of the first issue.
That was just a teaser.
I know. I'm sad.
So then we have the cliffhanger at the end, though, too, when he says, and that. I guess it's a witch says, you know, she's not your daughter. So that's been interesting. How about the fade out? Number three.
I started reading three, but I fell asleep.
Your attention?
No, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was just like, I'm done with fade out for tonight.
I'm fading out.
It's been interesting, though. It really
has. This is, they kind of did like a left turn here, and they focus on the girl who's taking the murdered actress's
place.
Yeah. What's the book about? Like, what's the premise?
It's Hollywood in the 40s. Guy wakes up kind of in a tub after a drunken bender.
Rubiker one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
and finds the starlet dead on the sofa and has no idea what happened, how he got
there. Kind of interesting characters as well. I love how they give you like a list of all the characters that are in it at the beginning, a cast of players, stuff like that. It really is. It's been a really decent read, a cool noir feel to it.
You thought it was the first two issues were the following the writer who woke up, you know, and saw that she was dead. But this issue kind of takes a left turn and focuses on
Dave. No more candy for you, Dave. You get all hopped up anyway.
Yeah, I can't get my blood sugar too high.
Can't get it high enough. So,
trying to kill Dave?
Are you? What is happening here? This podcast used to be friendly, and now it's just.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Manson family.
See, he's getting married.
Oh. Should we send him, a present?
Some, 23-year-old girl or whatever.
Oh, that's the present.
Where's your...
Okay. I'm sorry.
Call it. Go on, Jay.
The art's good, too. I find the art interesting, even though it's always...
covers I really like, too.
Covers are great. You know, it's just a bunch of guys and ties and, you know, in rooms and stuff, you know, and you... manages to make the art very interesting. It's John Phillips. Yeah. How about MPH number 4 by Mark Miller? I wouldn't want to say about this. It's not too out of this. Well, it focuses on the first of the in the last issue, the one kid. He was in the White House, and he ran so fast. He went back in time, like to the Old West or something, like Doc Brown. And this issue doesn't pick up on that at all. I guess they're saving that, which I wanted to see. kind of disappointed in that, but I guess they're saving that for the final, fifth and final issue. But in this issue, they find out they have some more background on this MPH drug, and it was discovered or created by a French scientist of all things.
Okay,
because he talks about how there was an arms race to build the first superhuman, and a French guy actually comes up with this formula for these MPH pills to make people run really fast.
So the French are inventing pills to make people retreat fast. There's a shock.
I feel like they announced just recently that Miller's doing some other book.
With Sean Murphy.
Yeah, that sounded really interesting.
Where's Time Travelers?
Yeah. So that sounded interesting. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, it actually... Cronuts. Yeah, the preview, I saw them pretty good.
I just don't remember where I saw that at. I have no idea.
Saw it sometime this week. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was like Twitter or
maybe CBR.
Could be.
It was probably. Oh, I did see it. Chromanauts or
Sean Murphy was posting
like
stuff on Twitter about it.
Was that what it is?
Yeah, he was
maybe
posting
that's
stuff.
That's where I saw it because I'm pretty sure he's on my Twitter.
And at the end of this issue, the three.
How'd that come?
Got it.
Ooh. Oh, my. Wow.
Throw it on Colin's pants.
Just like Peter Parker.
I'm not fans of Rover, but I don't really ever read any of Miller's stuff. I think the one time I was reading something, like the delays drove me nuts, so I stopped right away.
It hasn't been too bad recently. Starlight came out pretty...
Starlight seemed like it followed the schedule pretty...
I never really got into his stuff either. I remember Joe was at this podcast one time, and he was talking about something. He was like, "You guys like Miller?" And I was just like, "Not really." He wasn't very happy because I guess he likes Miller.
He's not bad. I just nothing I've ever read really has like hooked me.
I didn't really like Ultimates. I didn't like his take on the Avengers at all, mm-hmm. in that first volume. And there were really weird things. And he's always throwing like celebrities into it. For a while, he's throwing a lot of like real celebrities into that, like. The whole thing about Ultimates was Hulk was, like, going crazy, so they had to take him down. Hulk was going crazy because Betty was on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr. So Hulk was just running around screaming, "I need to get Freddie Prinze Jr. And I was just like, calm down. You know, seriously, this is too much. But it just, his stuff just never appealed to me. Civil War was, like, I didn't like it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Because it had a lot of delays. And it wasn't that, like, interesting at first. And then it started to grow on me a little more.
So I actually just reread that this week, and I think it holds up.
It holds up. It holds up as a larger read.
I did like Red Sun.
Yeah.
Which he wrote
Red
was good.
Sun was good.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but I have Old Man Logan sitting at home.
That I have not read.
To read, so.
I need to read that.
Like, the last of his monthlies that I was reading was Jupiter's Legacy, mm-hmm. which, I mean... It wasn't bad, but it was like 6 months in between issues.
Yeah. So. And last one I want to mention is Outcast. Number five.
I read the first issue, and
that was good.
I read the first two.
See, the first issue I thought wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything great enough for me to buy month to month.
Yeah, I think that this issue kind of ramped things up a little bit because you.
That's what I heard.
Started to get an idea of. Kind of what they're dealing with. It's a little bit more than what you thought, because the whole issue is pretty much an exorcism scene because this detective's partner killed his wife, and they think he's possessed. So the Reverend and Cal go in to try to exorcise the demon, and they can't do it.
Yeah, it's like he tries, and then like Kyle is trying. To do it, but it's just like the Reverend knows that like it's something new that he can't, like he doesn't understand yet.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't seem like it at first, like even the Reverend goes out and he's just like, "I can't help your friend, he's not possessed." But Kyle for some reason still thinks he is. And they go back in and they try to do it. and it just does not work. Like, it's a lot more difficult, and then the police, the other police officer will let him in. Yeah. It's just like, you got to go. Like,
yeah,
you know, you knocked him out. This is too much. Like, but there's still more to that guy. And then you're also intrigued by the end of it a little more by the guy who's taken up residency from his neighbor. That who is this guy? Like, you know, the older guy, the guy who kills the neighbor.
Okay.
And he takes over his house. And then he's, in the end of the issue, he's like standing behind a tree outside. You're like, well, who's this guy? So that's kind of cool. So there's been a lot of development since the first issue. Like, the first issue did not hold me at all.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, it was okay, I guess. But
it wasn't bad. It just wasn't.
Yeah. By issue two, I think it was better, and then you're starting to see some development characters coming in, and but it is taking a while to like see other characters, like where they go, like his sister or whatever, or his adoptive sister or whatever she is, and the cop, her cop husband and stuff like that. There's a little more that was going on that they need to get back to before it's like forgotten, because if it takes that long, I'll be like, oh yeah, that happened, but who cares now? Oh, this was happening, yeah. But, yeah, the last issue was pretty good.
It was good, yeah. And that's all I got. Wish I had an Archie to talk about, but it's all this stuff is so dark.
Yeah, where is Afterlife with Archie?
Where's Sabrina?
Got a magazine out or something?
Yeah, I know.
Where's the...
They made you buy 300 copies of Sabrina and didn't come out with an issue number two?
Because that was October, and this is the last week of...
November.
Where's the...
November, and now...
Josie and the Pussycat the Werewolves.
Stop it.
Was that not real?
Stop it. You can leave now.
Whoa, what's this?
I've had enough of Adam. Right, Matt? Matt agrees with me.
He brought you dinner.
Wow. Yeah.
Matt, who you schmoozed last time he was here. The one who wanted to beat you up,
Matt,
and then you schmoozed him. Oh, Matt!
We talked about it's the Matt? Same item. Well, I thought you were talking about the other Matt.
He wanted to beat you up?
I was just like, I haven't talked to Matt for a while. But yeah, no, we discussed our issues, podcast issues, civilly. They were very, it was very civil.
Civilly?
Civilly. I tried to fix myself. Colin was trying to instigate. That's the problem. And
Adam said, you ain't going to do anything.
He said, Adam hates Marvel.
And of anybody who talks bad about Marvel, I'm the one who's, who's the one who's called out after podcasts by people? No. It's this one. The one who visits the DC office.
But he's wearing the Marvel red.
That's because his wife said it looked nice.
After she watched Star Trek.
Yeah.
Sandy's pro-Marvel.
That's it.
Sandy's as neutral in this as anybody.
Switzerland.
Maybe she's hiding that from
I own more Marvel. Oh, she's a maybe Marvel. Don't. Never mind.
Person. Hold on.
He's thinking.
No.
He's getting there.
No, three.
He miscounted.
I own four DC pages and three Marvel pages. So. No, I'm counting on the wall.
Oh, okay.
That's all. Okay, Pat, what did you read?
I read The Walking Dead.
I read that too.
Yeah.
Cross it off your list, Colin.
Killer Carl.
Check.
I like murdering.
Yeah, Carl. I like, Carl. Carl's a badass.
Yeah, but how are the people of the hilltop going to take this?
Well,
that's
gonna be like, he just killed children. It.
But
didn't they say, though, I didn't read it.
But she was pretty beat up, too.
Didn't they say that you're not sure if they're dead or not?
Oh, no.
He said, I think I killed them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Dead men tell no tales. And they already said they were going
to
lie.
Turned into a pirate story.
Arg.
Carl.
He's got the patch.
He needs to lose a foot. Not anymore. He doesn't get a patch. He wears a weird... You know, that's going over... If you read the back of that issue... The question and answers thing, people were just like, why is he wearing these glasses? Like,
he's going Nick Fury.
They want him to go back to the hat, and then I don't know if it was Kirkman or somebody was like going back at him, like, oh, it's fine, you know, something. It was really, yeah.
And then Jesus takes a hostage and brings him back, I guess, to interrogate one of the Whisperers, which I guess that's what they call themselves.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out the other day if it was Jesus or Jesus. We still don't know. We won't.
There's
know.
No accent.
Watch. They'll add him to the TV show and they'll call him Jesus. So we'll be like, we've been calling him Jesus all along, you know.
We call him Jose.
Jose.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Might as well just call him Speedy Gonzalez, you know?
Now, see, that took it too far.
Wow. I agree. That was a stuff. I was just thinking they might not want to upset people if they called him Jesus.
Yeah.
So they would go to Jose, you know, something less offensive.
I was just using a random Mexican name. I was just like,
at least one group. Why not keep going?
Speedy Gonzalez is not a random Mexican
name. No, I was
name.
Saying
was
that Jose
character.
Is a random Mexican name to pull out.
I read an interview with J.K. Rowling. Harry Potter fame.
Wow.
She said that when a kid came up to her one time and asked her about Hermione. and she said, I had to destroy her thoughts and said, that's Hermione.
And she's just like, I hate wizards.
Destroyed the kid because he didn't.
I don't want to read your stupid books anyway.
I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but right when I opened, like within the first month, I had a guy come in and ask me for Amalgam, if I had any of the Amalgam books. I'm going, Amalgam books? I've never heard of Amalgam books. And then they say, well, you know where they had like Wolverine and Batman in one? I'm like, oh, Amalgam. Okay. But yeah, Amalgam.
Sounds like a pet name for his grandma.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there. Amalgam. I'm just going, I've never heard of Amalgam.
Your grandma isn't here, sir. And she's in the back.
Okay.
This podcast has taken a turn for the worst.
So, Walking Dead is nice because stuff has finally happened. We had a solid, like, I think the last trade that came out is going to be a snoozer. Number 22.
It was what? Second part of All Out? Or?
No, it was the first part of Brave New World or whatever they're calling it.
Just walking around their village.
Okay.
Yeah, where nothing happened for issue after issue. Yeah.
But this stuff's starting to pick up.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
This particular issue went back to how it used to feel a little bit about reading Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So I think it was good.
Well, it made the zombies kind of a threat, and now it's even more of a threat because you don't know if they're really zombies or if they're...
No, they're people.
Whispers.
Oh, yeah.
I like how he brings them in
on a horse.
Yeah.
They're just like, what is that? Like, you brought one in?
Yeah, we got a horse? We're going to interrogate them. Yeah. So that was good. Future's End.
Yeah, I'm behind on those. Yeah.
I like at the end the Lois meets Lois.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know it's Lois, but obviously
she's going to.
Yeah. She doesn't know it's Lois. But she's obviously going to find out. And.
Yeah, know. I didn't think at the end of the previous issue that was the island that she was parachuting on. Yeah.
I thought she was parachuting on Green Lantern, or not Green Lantern, Green Arrow.
I said it on the podcast. Everybody was just like, no, it's not.
I don't recall that.
And I cried.
If only we had a record, we'd go back and check.
If only we had a record.
So it's up in the air.
If only we could look this up.
We'll agree to disagree.
If we record these meetings, we need a secretary.
Dave.
He's big nerd meetings.
I'll be secretary.
You'll be secretary?
Fine.
Dave, start writing this down.
I'll be treasurer. Everybody pay your dues.
Colin's treasurer.
There's a lot you're going to have to black out on the record, though. Yeah. I'll tell you that much.
The podcast from here on out will be Dave rereading the notes.
I know how to work a poll, sir. And then you're just like, I don't know. Should I cross that one out? Or
I wasn't the one saying that I could work a poll, though. Let's just get that straight.
I know how to work a poll. Quote, Josh.
Redacted.
So back to
why
comic,
am I doing this job?
Back
it's all
to
blacked
comic
out.
Books. And I don't remember if it was this issue or the issue before where 50 Sue basically goes into Faraday and is like,
issue.
Yeah, okay, that's what,
like, a, give me a team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's
and they were already
bangers and
mash.
Yeah, she's a little pissed off at Deathstroke and
wasn't he sending her in though to kill?
Well,
50
right
Sue
right before she walked in, they were talking about getting rid of her.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then when she walked in, I was like, she had to have overheard. She is like a god. She has to have
something was
hearing.
On it was too. There was too big of a coincidence.
And they even joked about that. It's like, can't you just blink him out of existence? And she's like, oh, what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
She's weird.
I still hear her name,
though. 50 Sue.
Batman.
Batman was awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. I love the suit with the mini red suns that he could punch
Superman. Yeah, I like that. But I love the twist about Joker.
Mm-hmm. Who saw that coming? Yeah. No.
I feel like I want to go back and find that guy and everything, because I remember him in that. Yeah. Well, he was in that one with the, wasn't it the woman started, who could walk through walls?
Second annual. Yeah, she was like the first.
Number two, and then he showed back up again in the one that was after 0 Year.
Yeah.
That, was it Dan Jurgens wrote it?
But that was before Death of the Family, wasn't it?
No, the second annual came out. There was Death of the Family, then there was like a couple issues.
Yeah, it was a 0 Year time.
Was it? See,
yeah.
I thought, okay. No.
Yeah, the one was, with the lady.
No, it was, because she was the first she was the first one in Arkham.
Yeah.
She was the first.
Yeah, but I definitely know it was a 0 year.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Wait, but that, he was testing Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it wasn't a 0 year time.
No, it wasn't a 0 year.
It was an issue. Marguerite Bennett wrote the issue.
Yeah, because he was Batman. They let him into Arkham Asylum to test a cell. Yeah, their defenses, and he failed.
Yeah.
But he failed because he was trying to deal with the situation of this prisoner who has been there for, like, since Arkham opened.
Mm-hmm.
That she's been down there for years, and then she started to get out, and there's this whole thing about her. And he was involved, I remember, it somehow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it was, it might have been the same, but it wasn't. It didn't tie into 0 Year, because like it wasn't part of the same time.
No, but one of the backup stories, maybe, or something.
Something like that.
That was the only reason I read it.
I don't. I'll have to. Yeah, but
I did not see that coming at all.
I don't know how he has a face again.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He has a new face,
like a face that obviously looks.
Like Joker,
he just carries his old one around in his pocket.
I mean, like,
Joker's daughter has it.
No, he pulled it out.
He pulled it out. Yeah.
I know that was it was confusing.
Well, and that's what I got to want. You know, how's he going to feel about the Joker's daughter running around with his face?
He's going to be thrilled.
Yeah. Just like my daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another disciple, another Harley.
How's she going to feel when she finds out she's a fake? Because she still has it. Well, no, the time of time.
Yeah, you never know about time.
Is she Delilah Dent in this?
Batman Eternal. What's that?
Is she Delilah Dent?
No. Not yet, at least. Yeah. I don't think they've ever named her. Duella.
Duella, yeah.
If only you still had some of the Villains Month issues, we could go look.
It wasn't in that.
That was a crap.
I read that.
Issue.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was. They did a second
for
one of her.
That was much
better.
Yeah, the one Marguerite Bennett wrote was good, I heard.
Everybody was wanting that issue, and I was like, why? You can have mine.
Because there weren't a lot, and someone sold it for a lot, and suddenly everyone was...
Yeah, that was the most allocated of the Villain Month books.
Someone who spent a lot of money on that had to feel crap when they got it.
Apparently they were just like, that was it?
Wonk, wonk. It came with that sound effect.
That's what it sounds like when the last page, and that was it.
Wonk, 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 wonk.
They're like, oh
man.
But no, and there was one page in that. That's one thing that sucks about reading it Tuesday night. Is there was the one full page panel of the Joker with like mist behind him, and I so wanted to post that picture. I'm just going, you know, Greg Capullo, this is the most awesome page I've seen, but you can't, because that would have given everything away.
I love Capullo's Jokerized Superman.
Yeah,
yeah.
Conditions the cover,
the cover's really
out why is.
But that's why they couldn't show the covers before, because that would have given everything away.
Yeah.
Do you have Batman Eternal on your list?
I do. But you can talk about that.
In Batman Eternal, it was kind of interesting. I liked how they explained finally from what happened in Batman with the money situation. Because I feel like this is what's going to happen in the book now, is that Hush is breaking, now going into... He's trying to ruin him as Bruce Wayne.
Did they explain the money issue?
Is Hush still the main...
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I missed it.
He found his weapons cache, which these exist because of Wayne Enterprise and Batman Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
So because all of these weapons are now going to go out onto the street of whatever he has, who's to blame? Wayne Tech or Wayne Enterprise. So I feel like that's where we're going with
the money issue.
And that's why he lost all, losing everything.
I guess the time thing isn't matching up for him, because didn't that already happen, though, the money thing? Like,
Batman's is taking
way
place
after Batman
after,
No, I'm not talking about Batman. I'm talking about Arkham Manor. Isn't that taking place?
I think that's taking place during, because he mentions something about...
I think it's during.
It must be like a slight bit ahead of Eternal.
I think it's a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
Because I don't think... Do they even have a place to put him yet? Because they haven't thought of... Did they mention Batman?
He mentioned Arkham Manor. It was either... Yeah, I think it was in Eternal. Maybe, you know...
Because in Batman, Arkham Manor, they mention it a lot.
Maybe it was in Batman that they mentioned it. Could have
been in Batman as well. Yeah, because he's... Oh, yeah, he tells the Joker, the guy who is...
That's right, yeah.
He says, go back to Arkham Manor.
That's right.
Yeah. And in the first issue, they were talking because they were in that apartment.
Yeah. So that's where I think it's starting to connect there.
Okay.
And did anybody read Catwoman?
No.
By the way, I didn't get to read it. Was it any good? Did it have a lot of explanation on that?
I didn't read it.
I think Colin might have.
But well, what? Us. What?
just left.
I don't know what explanation you need. She wants to be.
I just wanted to know how well it tied in and if it's worth like reading with Batman Eternal. Because like, does it tie in? Does it help?
We know it ties in.
Is it a good companion for Batman Eternal? But we come back to that because I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he's read it.
The Cat and the Bat.
Yeah.
It's like the Cat and the Hat, but different.
Ah,
the only issue I have with Batman Eternal, and it's an art issue, and same thing I have with Red Hood.
Yeah.
Whoever the artist was, is drawing Hush like the bandages are painted on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see like all these, you know, facial expressions.
Yeah.
Then the cover, it's like, the cover looks right.
It's like a hard...
Like he's bandaged.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious on how they're tying this in with the pre-52 stuff where, like, Hush has changed so many times. Like, he's scarred, he's not scarred, he's Bruce Wayne. Like, he should have Bruce Wayne's face. That's what he did, and I forget which Hush book he did, but, like, some of them are really bad. But, like, I'd like to know what he looks like underneath the mask now. You know,
yeah.
I always assumed, for some reason, I had to go back before all this started when they brought up Hush again, that I reread Gates of Gotham because I swore he was killed in it. And he wasn't. He almost got killed, but he was never killed, but he was used in it because they brought him into it. They had a bomb attached to him, and I thought he died in that, but I had to go back and reread that.
I like that book.
Read that recently. I thought that was
really good book. Yeah, Hush. And I've liked Hush. Like, I thought he was kind of a cool character, but I feel like there's more to this than even Hush.
Yeah, I think...
Because if it is, I feel like I'm going to be disappointed because I'm expecting...
There has to be someone else orchestrating things.
Yeah. I feel like the only reason why one would be called... He would be called Mother is if there is a father. You know, that there's another person out there.
Yeah.
But that's...
Or if it was just his code name to talk to him on the phone. That might have been all that was.
Yeah, I think that's all that was.
Could have been. So, I don't know. But I feel like there should be just a little bit more. Somebody... I was hoping it was Lincoln March. That's who I was hoping it was. But I don't know. Did you see...
He's due to be back in some
capacity. Well, one of the issues was... I don't know if it was Batman where they mentioned the Neo Talons. Did you read that? And I think that might have been Batman, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It was just like we had to deal with Lincoln March and his Neo Talons.
Yeah, that was in Batman because when he was talking about the suit.
Yeah. So they have that, and that's going to happen, I guess. And I love it when they give you a little bit of the future.
Mm-hmm.
They tie it in because that means you might see more of the past,
yeah.
You know, into that. So that was cool.
Okay. Do you have a question about the cat?
Oh, I could ask him later. Did you read Catwoman?
Yeah, I did.
Was it good?
It was good.
Batman Eternal, or is it a companion book?
Yes, because what happens in it, basically, after what happened in a couple Batman Eternals ago when the girl was killed.
Okay, yeah.
And she decided to take over the family for her dad, who's in jail.
Yeah.
She then is trying to bring all the families together because they need a strong Gotham.
Okay.
To keep their businesses afloat.
So that's exactly what they're doing in the show. Gotham maybe, has to stay strong.
Well, no, they're just trying to get everything. She's trying to get all the families to work together. But in, like, they get guns, and she's trying to sell the guns outside of Gotham because she doesn't want them in Gotham. And she's kind of trying to take over the families, but they're not really digging it.
Yeah.
She's doing it with two of her cousins who have, like, no aspirations. So neither of them are going to try to take her over.
Okay.
It was good. Not a big fan of the art. It wasn't bad, but there were a couple panels where it was... wonky.
The cover was better than the art.
Yeah, well, the cover was
Jay Lee.
It was Jay Lee, and then the other one was the monster variant, which was just a great
Catwoman cover.
That was the one where she's like emptying the pumpkin bath. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of jewels. Yeah.
That sold out for you. That that variant?
I don't think so.
I thought it did. Because that was a really cool cover.
Green Lantern Corps, which was the next piece of Godhead.
Read that today.
I still just read the first one.
Yeah. John Stewart as the Star Sapphire, I thought was what I expected.
It was a nice twist.
Yeah, because before he even goes on the mission, you know, what's her name, Slack or Sarak,
Sinestro's daughter.
Yeah, well, I know that
the Sarlacc.
Yes, she's a big desert pit, and she eats people, and you're digested for 1,000 years. It's horrible.
Poor Boba Fett.
You know, but she even says, you gotta, you know, you're there to save them, leave emotion out of it, mm-hmm. It'll be time to get revenge for Yara later.
Yeah.
So that was good. You know, and when they had the little conversation, they bring up, you know, they need to bring the Reds in on this. The Highfather already has the only blue ring, because St. Walker doesn't have it. My guess is Lark Flees has to come into it too.
Yeah.
Now I, you know,
which I'm curious to see what they're going to do with that, because I mean, like we talked about last week, they did take his ring, but he is
he's the battery.
But so can he do anything without his ring?
In his book, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
He loses that thing all the time.
Well, all his constructs basically tied him down, and you know, they were trying to enslave him, and then they realized that without him, they don't have any power.
Yeah.
Take that, construct.
Yeah. But he's always it's always strange how they deal with him. Because they can make him a very comic character or a very...
Colin's having a stroke out right now. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. I should have mentioned that during news, I guess.
You should have mentioned that during news.
What should you have mentioned during...
Chris Pratt to star in Cowboy Ninja Viking movie.
Okay.
That makes me very happy. Cowboy Ninja Viking was awesome.
Okay, I haven't read it, so...
Cowboy Ninja Viking is about...
A cowboy
not just
Ninja
one
Viking.
Guy, but he has three personalities. He's not a split personality, he's called a triplet.
But he's a cowboy.
One's a cowboy, one's a ninja, one's a Viking.
Right. And... The fun part is, it was my introduction to Riley Rossimo art that I love, but even better were the word balloons. Because when the Viking was speaking, sticking out of the word balloon was like an axe. And when the cowboy was, it was a revolver. And when it was a Viking, and then he was married to a woman who was like a chef, a sniper, and something else. And it's just these people who are all basically insane that were used as secret agents in these operations. It was just a bizarre blast of a book.
Okay.
So, just one of my favorites that's just out there. I haven't pushed in a long time, but it was just neat. It was a Golden Age size book. It was a little bit big. But just the art I loved, because it was sloppy, and I'm not a fan of sloppy art, but for some reason this one I really liked. You use Zipitone, but it would like be outside the lines sometimes, and just... Really cool. So when I saw that was totally unexpected. So, well, you're talking about a book I haven't read, so I'm kind of, I was just getting online, looking at news, and all of a sudden, I hit that, and I was just like,
"You were boring me."
So no, not at all. Not at all.
That's all right.
Not at all.
Well, I'll finish up.
Now you're gonna yawn.
No, not at all. Spider-Verse.
What the hell was that? I felt bad because I put that in everybody's box that was getting Spider-Man, because it's Spider-Verse. You know, that's the storyline. And then I read it. Well, then I read it Wednesday night, and I'm like, what the hell was that? This was like just three dumb stories that had nothing to do with
two.
Four.
Two.
Oh, yeah, two issues.
The second one was today, though.
But, I mean, that...
No. That today was amazing. No.
Yeah, today was amazing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that, I thought that was going to be, like, the first part, and then you have the Spider-Man issues, and then the end, but they didn't...
It seems like the actual story is running through Amazing Spider-Man.
That's it.
It had a little... I feel like it was the leftovers of Edge of Spider-Verse.
Kind of, if even
like,
that.
Stories that weren't
like
good enough to have
yeah, yeah exactly issue because that's what they that and was, there were like one page ones that were kind of funny like they had the
yeah.
hostess
yeah
this.
Fruit the hostess pies, pun, yeah that one
the newspaper strip the one newspaper I enjoyed one. Too I thought that was funny because if you ever read the newspaper strips basically the first everyone ended in a cliffhanger
uh-huh
and then the first panel of the next one recap the previous three panels and so it was just kind of funny. Well, who are you? I'm Morlin. I already said that. And then, you know, so that, I enjoyed that, just the repetition aspect. I thought that was humorous.
I only liked one in there, and it was the May Riley steampunk
one. Yeah, that was interesting.
That's actually what they're going to do for the Aunt May movie.
It's the Aunt May movie?
Oh, okay.
You know, that'll be better than...
It actually was
trouble. It's baking pies the whole time.
It was good, though. I thought that one was okay, but the other ones were not...
Yeah, I didn't realize until... When I get these Marvel books, the first thing I do is I redeem the code and I read it on my iPad because...
Then he sells them back to you.
They'll fall apart in your hands.
Because the paper and the ink that Marvel uses is crap. It's terrible. I don't want to read a book
and the ink
10 minutes later have
fingers.
Like fingerprints in the back. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, might as well read a newspaper. God.
$4 for less than toilet paper quality.
Really? Anyways. It really is.
So when I open up to get the code, I'm like... What is this? What's this? What's the black and white section? I looked and I was like, "This looks completely
say again,
a bunch of different stories." And then,
so then you I sat there and read it, and then wiped it out.
Not with the comic. I'm gonna sell it back now.
But the fruit pies
with the iPad. That's
not without the not with the code redeemed. Somebody was asking me about that the other day.
What was?
Do you think that will affect the value of the comic if that code's redeemed? I'm like, well, I doubt it because the code's only good for so long. So it doesn't really matter. But he's like, well, what about if it's missing that little thing? I'm like, I doubt people are going to be opening up every Marvel book to see if it has that thing on it. Because I'm sure some have just fallen off. But, I mean, it's not like the old coupons getting cut where they were physically cut out of the book.
I bought a book from a different store.
Did you?
At one point. And it didn't have that code in there.
Okay.
It was the only time I've ever bought one.
Like it was physically not in the book?
Yes.
That could have been a printing error because, I mean, God, that's not something I'm going to be checking when I'm checking in books.
Yeah.
So unless somebody peeled the whole thing off. Now, I know that sometimes they are tough to peel. I have a customer who moved to Puerto Rico but still gets his books. He was just in last week, actually, last Wednesday. But, I mean, it was a good stack. Just when he comes home to visit family, he picks them up. But I do send him all the codes so that he can read them. He still comes in and gets them, but he wants to read them.
Some
so,
of those don't come
and
off
some
well,
do not come off well. So,
hard
but yeah, I don't know if it was something that was sold back.
Should
be a
QR code.
But well, anyways, but then so you could just walk into the store and scan.
Well, you still have some on top of it.
Oh, okay.
This way you don't have to try and like decipher.
Yeah,
what it is.
You can't always tell what they are. Yeah.
But yeah, so at that point, that's when I realized there was a bunch of different stories. I thought it was almost be like going to be like Superman Doomed, where it kind of started off the whole event.
Mm-hmm. No, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's
really,
kind of what I was thinking, too.
If you didn't buy it yet, but you want to read the event, it has pretty much nothing to do with
the
Spider-Verse event.
I think that's the best way.
That didn't have anything to do with the web.
The Master Weaver?
No, was that in Spider-Man? Or what was his big story? Was that in the first issue of Spider-Man?
That's
where they were talking
Spider-Man.
About
that was
him.
The Master Weaver. That was the Superior Spider-Man.
See, I didn't read Superior,
Batman.
But I know I read something. It must have been in the first Spider-Man, because I haven't read much of the other stuff.
Well, he did something. Like, they did have, like, a...
In
what,
this one, though,
they had a dinner or
he saved
in
the
last Spider-Man he was
in,
or two Spider-Mans ago, I think they were talking about him a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, they had, like, a dinner.
Well, where was the family when they had the dinner? Was
that
in
the
Spider-Man?
The last
that was the
yeah.
last issue of Spider-Man. Okay. But the one where they explain, like, what happens, how they get to the Master
right, no,
Weaver,
it was more just
that,
that dinner.
That's Superior
scene.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
That's the end of that.
It was disappointing, because I actually, despite what I thought going into it, I've
you
been
you thought
really
it would
enjoying,
be, like, the next part of the whole
but,
Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, like, I've actually really been enjoying Spider-Verse, when I build up the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on the verge of canceling... or dropping Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But this...
Like you dropped Guardians of the Galaxy and Uncanny X-Men today?
Yeah.
You can thank
yeah.
the original Sin tie-ins for that. It lasted... The reading
yeah,
Professor
agree.
X's Will and Testament has been 3 months now, and I still haven't read through it.
It's long.
It's very long and involved. They need to get lawyers involved.
And they keep recapping it in the last panel.
You can thank my giant flying yellow chair to Wolverine.
Thank Bendis for his long, drawn-out, boring story.
Wolverine meets his demise. Now,
are there a bunch of head panels or interviews, or are they sitting around the kitchen table drinking coffee? Those were my favorite Avengers issues.
Did Wolverine have a will? I'm wondering
if Wolverine meets his demise,
he left
by
everything to
decapitation,
his son. Oh, that he
please
killed.
Read section two. If Wolverine loses his life to adamantium spill, and then read the next page. They're like, oh, that's this one. That's how he did it.
That's all I read.
Give it to Jubilee.
Josh?
Oh, you done? That was it?
Well, he didn't cross out half of his list yet.
You called him boring. So
yeah.
I did not call him boring. I said he was talking about books I haven't read. Or
maybe
you guys were talking about TV
so
shows
hurtful.
I haven't seen, so I kind of tried to tune out.
I think somebody's not being very prepared for the podcast.
I was out of town for 3 days.
Now he's bragging.
Look at me, I'm Colin. I went to D.C. You guys stayed in Pittsburgh.
Huh? See Mickey Mouse?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they said it was
here,
like...
Here, I'll do mine. Oh, if you want to the way you find it, because I only have
say,
one.
Did, are any of you guys reading...
Sorry, just pulled up... Hang on. Just pulled up a picture on Facebook, and it has the forecast for Buffalo... through Thursday morning at 8 a.m. of 70 inches of snow.
What?
Yeah, they had 60.
But above that, like 5 inches, 6 inches, you know, 1 to 2 inches down a little further south. But, yeah, Buffalo, 50 to 70 inches.
It's that, that snow belt. Like, I lived in Watertown, which is north of Syracuse.
8 a.m. tomorrow.
Right off Lake Ontario, and it was the same way. We would get nailed. And above us and below us would not get it.
Isn't it supposed to warm up? Isn't that what they said? How are we going to get that?
It is. We're not going to get that. Buffalo got that.
But it said on there 1 to something inches. Isn't that what it said on there? I thought that's what the map said. Mm-hmm.
Are any of you guys storing Justice League United?
No.
I'm not caught up in it. That's my only thing.
So this arc started with the annual, which I guess was 2 weeks ago. So it brings in the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, okay.
So did you read the first arc where they had that multi-alien baby?
Ultra.
Yeah, Ultra. So apparently Ultra in the future becomes sort of like a Galactus type being who's just consuming worlds and civilizations.
DC needed their own Galactus.
What's that?
DC needed their own Galactus.
His name is Infinitus.
Why not?
Because Universus would have sounded weird.
Yeah.
Anything dealing with infinite belongs to Marvel.
Anything with a crisis.
He needs to be called Crisisus.
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 So I think the book is finally starting to get its footing. I like the first arc. The first arc kind of didn't have a firm grasp on who the team was even by the end of the first arc. They had like little like a page here with that Equinox character, the new hero, and there was like you weren't sure about Hawkman's role, but you're finally starting to see them come together as a team and get roles as a team. The annual were brought in the Legion was still a bit off. Like it's a fun book, but there was a lot of like exposition in the book, and this issue, now that you know all of that initial setup is done, is starting to, you know, I don't know, it's feeling more like a true Justice League book and not, you know, like kind of a mismatch
all the setup up, like all these people joined it like the Avengers movie, like they were all just like thrown together and then they had to figure out how to work together.
Yeah, it feels like a more like legit team
like
now.
It's
been good. I hope the book, you know, does well. I like...
We even went back to Legion for a while, and we're still curious on how Legion, if Legion exists, because we have a Justice League 3000, and they're from the year 3000.
That's what I'm wondering. I keep getting the feeling that Justice League 3000 is in a different...
Earth?
Yeah. From
I'm
things,
starting to wonder that myself.
From things that they mentioned in that book about, you know...
Well, no, because they have Earth, yeah. But they have Booster Gold, and they
that's
have...
True. But yeah. I guess, Booster Gold can't travel through the multiverse.
What about Blue Beetle?
Because
it was Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle has the power to do any of that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it would be our...
But we've seen Booster Gold.
I get what you're saying.
In the Futures End stuff as well.
He had the Futures End. But he's not... He's new 52 Booster Gold. This one's not new 52.
Yeah, this is pre-new 52.
That's the difference of them. They're two different people, Josh. Come on.
I should just leave.
Can't you keep
Aren't you keeping up? I didn't even know the Legion. I don't know. The Legion, they had their own book at the beginning of New 52, and that didn't last.
Yeah, and I wonder... It seems...
Because we all got ranks, remember?
I don't know. You know, odds on Throwover, it feels kind of odd that they're being showcased in this, unless maybe DC's planning on trying to relaunch their book.
Probably. They give it time, and then they restart it back up. That's what they'll do.
After the Band-Aid,
yeah.
Somebody online was actually complaining on Bleeding Cool, and I don't usually get on arguments online with people for absolutely no reason, but this guy didn't make any sense.
So you decided to jump in and feed the troll.
This one, because there was only one, so I was just like, his whole thing didn't make any sense. According to him, he said that, the thing was that DC is relaunching a bunch of things with all new, like Marvel basically is. Teen Titans says all new in front of it, or whatever they're putting in front of it. The new Teen Titans. And according to him, he was saying that it only makes sense to put a new number one on everything, because if they do that, then they tell people that's a new jumping on point. I'm like, they don't have to do that. People have been making comics for years and never done that.
I read some article on Bleeding Cool that was similar to that, where they were saying, why did Suicide Squad, Teen Titans, and Deathstroke get new number ones, but like Batgirl and Wonder Woman did not?
Yeah.
Like, but the other ones all took a hiatus. I think that was the same article. Batgirl just kind of rolled.
Suicide Squad and Teen Titans weren't doing that great before, were they?
What?
Like Suicide Squad and Teen Titans, before they relaunched number ones, they weren't selling that well, correct?
Not great. I mean, they were doing well for me, but overall, I don't think they were doing that well. So, yeah, I'm not sure the new number one, other than the Titans, like, completely changed. Yeah, Deathstroke's been gone for at least a year or so.
But, like, Batgirl and Wonder Woman, they were doing well, so
right.
I think it almost helps them to keep numbering, because you
get you don't have the jump-off people, I did have a bunch of people jump
what
off.
What guy in the whole thing, basically it was about that. Why didn't they relaunch Batgirl with a new number one as the topic?
That's the same article I read then.
Okay. Yeah. And then this guy comments, it had hardly any comments, which is funny. But one guy comes on, he says, well, DC is trying to have some integrity with their numbering. And this guy comes on, this is the guy who is arguing with, who says, integrity with their numbering? That's silly. I'm not going to jump onto a book at 35. It's just not going to happen. I've missed 34 issues of a story. A number one is the best starting point, new starting point. Which I replied to. I said, so I started Spider-Man at issue 502. I said, your argument's invalid. Like, it doesn't make any sense. My argument is perfectly valid. It doesn't matter what number you are, anyone else starts at, or anyone else starts at. Number one is the best place to start for me. Also, you realize there is a 501 issue gap in your collection, right? No, I don't. Because everyone, as long as it starts with an arc where I can start... I don't need a number one to tell me where to start. Yeah.
So this guy didn't read any of these big books?
No, he only reads books, supposedly, if they put a new number one at the beginning.
So he's read all the new 52, but he never read pre-new 52 Batman.
He's read Marvel Now and 52, but before that, no Spider-Man, no Batman, nothing.
I told him. I said, a number one is just a number. I said, the writer, as long as the writer makes the new arc a jumping on point, you don't need to put a number one on the cover to tell people that. But... I mean, it's stupid.
That's stupid.
It just doesn't make any sense.
You're stupid. That's a stupid argument.
That's a dumb argument.
They all need number ones. Every issue should be a number one.
Yeah.
A new number one is much more appealing. This is his comment I've ever read. A new number one is much more appealing to a new or lapsed or casual reader. And that's just a fact. That's what he's... fact. Mic drop. There was a ton of baggage connected to a high number like 502.
Like,
they've been doing it for years. People have still been reading them.
Like, I'll recognize his point that a number one will probably stand out to a new reader.
Okay, I'll give you that. But
people that are reading it,
Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number one has an inverted Captain America acting as a fascist with a team of Avengers made up of Superior Spider-Man, Blade, Photon. I mean, is that a... So a lapsed person can pick that up and know what's going on?
That's the thing.
Not a chance.
Well, Uncanny... your best one was at the beginning of Marvel Now was Uncanny Avengers. That was not a jumping off point.
That's
that wasn't
also a
flagship
book, though, that seems like it exists just to service the current event that's going
on. Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying, based on his argument, a number one's a great jumping on point.
I read that today's Spider-Woman's the same way, where it exists just to service...
Well, they do that all the time.
And what a place to start. Like, if you're making a Spider-Woman book, seriously, you're going to start it at an event? Like Spider-Verse?
But they do that all the time. Most of their books.
But that's the point, though.
Mighty Avengers started in Infinity.
But is that going to help the book?
How well did that do?
Not well. But I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Yeah.
They
you were
think
saying
it's a
good
idea.
What are you thinking, Colin? That's what happens when you wear your red shirt on a Wednesday. You get all Marvel-y.
But that's it. Okay, so Spider-Girl is not really a Spider-Man character anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It
is. It's a Spider-Family.
Why start a book with a number one of this character that you're wanting to keep around? I don't give this book any time.
She's the character canceled. That they need to put in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. book.
Then again, Marvel always has a hard time putting
Especially with her history of being a Hydra agent and stuff.
So it will last a little while, but I doubt this book will make it because of just how their formula of bringing books out.
Give us a new cover.
It's got silk.
I think this is why Ms. Marvel's lasted as long as it did. It started as a number one. It's a brand new character. It's a brand new idea to get new readers. They did that one right. But why don't they do that with Spider-Man? No, you start it right in the middle of an event.
You mentioned Silk. I think if they did a Silk book instead of this, after they introduced her in Amazing Spider-Man, built her up for a few months, that would do fine. Not in an event like that, but just a normal book that stars his character.
What do you mean if they make a Silk book? They're making all of their books out of toilet paper right now. You think they're going to make one out of pure silk, Josh? You thought I was really going on to something there.
Well played, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Colin, go ahead.
My turn. Nobody brought up Axis.
Because no one's reading it.
What's Axis?
Sorry, Sixus.
Oh.
Nobody's reading Axis.
Here's
a funny thing.
Comments about
it's
Spider-Girl.
The event of
just to give you an idea.
2014.
I had another batch of damages yesterday, so UPS actually came to pick up the box today. So I put them all in there except for Axis because I lost 30 of my 50 copies of Axis were damaged.
You were like, I don't want it anymore. Just
no.
Send these back.
But so I just put them on the shelf because some people don't care, and they weren't damaged bad, but they were kind of damaged as a whole. They came, I'm like, oh, hang on, let me put the other 30 in there. And I still have them on the shelf. So after one day and holds and everything, I didn't even have 20 people interested in Axis.
Well, here, let me play this against you, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you downplay Axis all the time.
True.
Argue that.
True. Because it's a really weird event.
When people buy it, you just tear it in half right in front of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really sells the book.
No.
And then
I invert it for them. Yeah.
Then he puts it in the damage box.
No, but that one continued on. That one was really weird, where the Avengers call an Avengers meeting. And so, like, it has Nova. You know, Nova's all excited because he's coming to his first Avengers meeting, and Spidey's coming along with him. And they get there, and all of a sudden, Captain America is trying to capture all the Avengers by shrinking them down and putting them in bottles.
That's rude.
To capture them so that they won't interfere with their plans.
Hmm.
And Spidey and Nova escape, and it was just one of those... What? And you got Captain America. Even Spidey says, that is the most un-Captain America thing I've ever heard anyone say. And it was very weird. And I get what they were doing. Remender was playing up. Well, that everybody that was present there was inverted. So Captain America, who used to be pro-democracy, is now pro-fascism.
How clever.
And, yeah.
So creative.
So, but my problem with that was the very same day, you also have... All new Captain America, written by Rick Remender, come out, which is purely Falcon, like on his first day as Captain America, with an earpiece with Cap talking to him,
Who is Captain America in Sixes? Is it Falcon?
It's
or
Falcon.
Is it...
Okay. Yes. But so, and he's flying around and he's on this mission to get out an agent from this Hydra base. And he's flying and he's loving the shield. That was the one fun part is the whole time he's going, man, I should have had one of these years ago because he's throwing it and blocking gunfire and everything. And he's having a good time
with
it.
You think you would need to practice with that shield a lot to get the same level of skill.
But okay, he inverted.
No, no. But so I'm saying that's the problem. Is Falcap is inverted in Axis. He's not inverted in his own book that shipped the same day, but he is inverted in Captain
Mighty
America
Avengers.
And Mighty Avengers.
But even if he's inverted, why would he be the way he is? Why would he be all fascist? He's not like Steve Rogers, Captain America. It's not like they have the same beliefs.
Are you
that's
saying
also
Sam Wilson
true.
Didn't have...
Right.
I don't think he was all like patriotic of waving the flag all the time like Cap.
But so that it got really weird, and now the Apocalypse has decided to take over Manhattan, and the X-Men are all with him, and it just, it's really weird. And I realize it's supposed to be weird because it's inverted, but it's also just really, where's this going? And then number six
like
just kind of continues
that. Confusing.
It is. It's not a great event. Because the biggest problem I have with it is the whole inversion wasn't really explained. It just kind of happened in the background.
Don't worry about it, because they'll forget about it after next issue and move on to the
right,
next.
Right, right.
Bumps me out, too, because actually, I like Rick Remender a lot. And
this
like
is
across the board, no one likes this event.
Yeah, so well, that was Axis. Now, All New Cap was very good, very fun, kind of a more lighthearted Cap, because it's Falcon as Cap. Mm-hmm. It was neat, but there was also a weird thing, because... A character, now I had not read the end of the Cap thing, but apparently the young kid from the beginning of the Captain America new series that he went into Dimension Z mm-hmm. and got out is now all grown up and he is Nomad. And he was kind of introduced in Axis, kind of like Spidey shows up and like the only people that can do any that aren't affected now are Spidey, Old Cap, and Nomad. And he kind of introduces him to him as this is my son. And Spidey's like, what? Well, then it also turns out in All New Cap, the agent that he was going to get out of this Hydra base was Nomad. Because it was kind of funny because like he misses, Falcap misses with a throw of the shield. And all of a sudden this Hydra agent goes, God, you really suck at throwing that thing.
Good. I'm glad
you
that
know,
that's like,
and then it turns out that it was actually that was Nomad that he went
they
into.
They did that in, you remember in Civil War when Hawkeye that was trying to become Captain America? And he tries to throw the shield, and then it didn't work out for him at all. Yeah, he was going to be him. Iron Man showed up, and he was just like, no. Like, you can't be. I think it was Iron Man who showed up.
That wasn't... Yeah, but that wasn't Civil War. Was that Fallen Son?
It might have been Fallen Son. It might have been.
Another one I read, Drifter number one. That was an Image number one that came out last week. Interesting. Spaceship crashes right at the very beginning of the first episode. And this guy kind of wakes up, like, half in the water, and all of a sudden this, like, alien is coming, like, behind him to get him, and he stabs him and, like, mortally wounds him. And then this other alien kind of comes up and is, like, comforting this thing, and it's like you get the impression the alien was only trying to help him, and he killed him. So he feels really bad.
And then Ring flies off.
No, but then all of a sudden he ends up, and he like, gets found, and then it's, like, a total Western-type feel. Really weird.
They, like, crash land in the old West?
Well, you don't know where... Yeah, you don't know what it is. He's having trouble breathing because the air is different here. His guns won't work. Just kind of weird. Very weird number. But, I mean, interesting, but very much like another space Western that they're doing. And, you know, guy out of place like a drifter, you know, High Plains drifter kind of shows up. Oh. Kitchen number one I talked about before, but basically it's the wives of the mobsters in the 70s. Good. Deciding to... take over their husband's business
in Hell's Kitchen.
In Hell's Kitchen, when the husbands are in jail, it was good.
Oh, Daredevil!
It was a Vertigo book.
I was waiting for Daredevil.
I was in Hell's Kitchen. Okay, sorry, got all excited.
He's in San Francisco.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
What?
It's not called Hell's Kitchen anymore.
I was in Hell's. No, we walked through. There was a flea market. There was a flea market, and it said Hell's Kitchen Flea Market. We walked through it. It was like a whole block.
They
long.
Still call it that where they would have.
Yeah. But Superior Iron Man. Nobody? Okay, it's inverted Iron Man. The big thing they were...
So that means he's, like, nice?
No, he's a total jerk.
He doesn't drink?
How's that inverted?
He's a total jerk, and he drinks. And
this just sounds like Iron Man.
So this is going to be a monthly book with Invertebrate.
Not even monthly, man. Every other week.
Monthly,
bi-weekly,
man. Who's that?
Man.
But it's going to keep going even beyond when Axis is done.
Apparently. Because what has happened in this...
He's like, this is nice. I'm going to stay inverted.
Until everything ends.
Well, he creates an app where if you download it, you are perfect. Everything is perfect about you.
Everything.
And then
is
after
awesome.
A day,
it everything ends, is awesome. Yeah.
After a day, it ends, and to reactivate it, it's $99 a day. So,
didn't iTunes set restrictions against apps like
that? Uh huh. So that,
right,
that's
if
basically
perfect. Then you would have the
but
kind
if you
of
have
money
a Stark
to
phone,
pay for that.
You don't
that,
need iTunes.
Yeah, but that's basically what I that Stark. Is. Thor. Stop. Thor 2, anybody? No? Nobody's reading Marvel? Am I the only one reading Marvel here? Okay.
This is weird.
This is very weird. Thor 2 was good. It's continuing on...
But you talked about Thor 2. You said you hated
now,
that
Thor
movie.
Wasn't in this at all. It was just the girl Thor. And it's very interesting. We still don't know who she is, but it definitely doesn't seem like it's mom because she thinks as herself, but when she speaks, it's...
Thor.
Thor language, verily, and all that, but... And it definitely sounds more like a younger girl.
If it was her mom, the mom, though, wouldn't... She's already speaking like Asgardian, though.
Right.
So she wouldn't really turn into anything.
Well, nothing happened in the first one. She just... You saw a girl smile and then holding
that
the hammer up.
Yeah,
so
but
there,
I would
have
never expected it really to be her in
well, the
sense
she
that,
was the only woman that was there.
Yeah.
And Odin kept putting her down. And basically, you know, I'm back. Get back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, there's no. We don't need you.
Yeah.
So it kind of played to her having a purpose.
What we learned from, I guess, I'm gonna say Straczynski's. I think it was Straczynski's run when on the Oklahoma stuff when Thor was trying to find everybody, and they all take like human forms, and then once you break that human form, they become their Asgardian selves. That's why I'm thinking like the mother would have to be something else, like more human.
Yeah.
In order, and then she would become her.
But the whole problem is who could get to the moon?
Yeah, that's your thing.
That's the question. Although somebody did bring up that maybe it's Crystal from the Inhumans.
Oh.
That would be interesting.
I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah. So that's all I have.
Maybe it's what's her name from the one who can turn like men, who like hypnotizes them or whatever from the show?
Oh, Lorelai.
Yeah, Lorelai.
Maybe it's Lorelai.
You have anything else?
I have Detective Comics.
Okay.
I think two came out last week, I believe.
I think it came out 2 weeks ago.
Might have.
Yeah.
I finally read it, though.
It was really good.
But yeah, both issues were really good. Took place, basically what happens is there's a plane that's coming in, and it doesn't necessarily crash at the airport, but lands through the airport because it's been infected. Yeah, it doesn't stop. And it's been infected with a virus, basically, the plane has. But when Batman opens up the door, he unleashes the virus. And
you would think Batman would be better prepared for
that's what
like
I thought, because that's what he kind of it was kind of interesting.
He was about to go on vacation.
Yeah, he was ready, and then the plane came through, and he's just like, shh.
He had a bad Hawaiian shirt on. And
yeah, it was a bunch of little Hawaiian dots.
Alfred's like, leave it alone. Yeah. There was a plane through the terminal, just leave it alone.
Exactly. And nobody, like, and then he decided to go through it. And he teams up with, like, this, like, almost, everything seemed very cliche.
It was his Carl Winslow.
It was, yeah. This cop was about ready to retire. Like, he was, and he only works at the airport, and he already had, like, a terminal illness.
That's more like his Murtaugh, then.
And then there was even a point, though.
Because the guy who played Carl Winslow was the same, was the guy from a Die Hard.
Yeah.
And then they had this other part where this when the plane's coming through and it crashes through the airport window, and then this little girl with like a teddy bear or something, I forget what she was holding, but and she's just standing there watching the plane come towards her, and then Batman saves her, and I was just like, come on, we've seen that before, you know. It's
I
either a little
that.
Girl, a little boy, or it's some old woman
that
with a
happened,
locker.
Like, three times in Flash last night.
Yeah.
Where someone just, like, saw something barreling at them and just stood there.
And then remember it happens in the movie Spider-Man where Stan Lee, like, grabs the kid?
Yeah.
And, wait, no. That happened twice in Spider-Man. Stan Lee grabs the first little girl, and then Spider-Man grabs the boy before the float came down and landed on him. Crazy. But a lot of stuff like that. But the art was... I really like the art. I forget who did the art right now. But the story was kind of interesting, kind of for a not necessarily a one-shot, but a two-parter.
No, that wasn't Matteo Scalera.
I think it was, like, what was his name, Leon or something?
Yeah, John Paul Leon.
Yeah. I wasn't familiar with his stuff, but I thought it was kind of different.
Yeah, Scalera did the one that had, I think it was 35, that Dan Jurgens one.
There was a big problem I had with it, though. The story was good. No problem with that. The only problem is, during the thing, Batman becomes infected with it. He starts having problems dealing with it. He's trying to find this terrorist, which, you know, where is he? We need to stop him. So he calls Dick Grayson up, and he's just like, whatever you're doing, stop doing it. And it's just like, can he do that? Like, isn't this your point of leaving him alone?
I know you're deep cover right now.
Yeah, but you need to do some stuff for me. I was just like, okay. So he's like, okay, I guess. So he stops everything. Right now he's interrogating some guy, asking him questions. And then he's such a random person that he goes up to him and he's just like, okay, let's change the thought process here. Let's go and talk about this. Where's this terrorist? And he knew. It's just like, wasn't that too big of a coincidence that he was with the same person that he needed to talk to? But
Batman knew. That was part of his plan.
But he found him, and it was interesting how he found him. But for a two-parter, it was good. I thought it had an interesting story, an interesting little mystery to it.
Yeah, I didn't have high hopes for this fill-in arc.
Yeah.
It actually was really
It reminded me,
enjoyable.
And it might have been, it reminded me of like a Dark Knight kind of story, mm-hmm. or a Legends of the Dark Knight kind of story, where it wasn't, you couldn't see anything besides the Grayson stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen anything that would have led you to believe that it was New 52.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like at the end, whenever it was finally resolved and Bruce Wayne's back on his private plane with Alfred and says, you know, he wants to go to a beach and relax, like Bruce Wayne would never say he wants to go to the
relax. He wants to go home and stay in the Batcave for a little while and then leave there and go fight crime.
I haven't beat up a criminal in weeks.
And then the cop, he starts having issues, which I guess this virus has made his like cancer come back somehow, because he's went a little bit downhill with the virus, so it's made him weak. He's just like, I just want to go to Hawaii, like take me to Hawaii, and then I can die there or something. So at the end of the book, he gives him like, he's in the hospital and he gets an envelope from him.
Yeah.
And he gives him Hawaii tickets.
He gets to Hawaii.
And then the guy dies. He's just like, it's too late. It didn't happen, but he gave him the tickets. Happy ending for him.
You good?
Good.
Okay. One I want to talk about, it was the Multiversity Pax Americana, because Dan DiDio handed me one in his office when I was in New York, so that was pretty cool. So I read that.
Seven times now.
Yeah, you know.
Rubbing it in.
Yeah. That's why he's on the podcast right now.
Did
he sign it for you?
No. I read that in the
hotel. We're really ruining his story.
I read that in the hotel Friday night, and that was an amazing book. Most people have read Watchmen. Basically, it's Morrison playing with those characters, but he's using the original DC ones that Moore wanted to use. So
just funny, Blue Beetle. Grant Morrison use them.
Well, because he didn't kill them all off.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's Blue Beetle, The Question, Captain Atom, Nightshade, and The Peacemaker. And Frank Whiteley art, and it's just amazing. Just visually stunning how much stuff is packed into this. And basically, it's a trade worth of story in a single issue. There's just a ton of stuff going on. I don't know at all how it ties in with the rest of Multiversity, and I don't think it really does, other than him just kind of having fun with a DC, different DC universe.
Are they going to do Multiversity as a trade?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was just an absolutely amazing story. And it's neat because you want more of this, but the way it ends,
there is no more.
There could be more. There certainly could be more, but the story was complete. There's just so much story packed into this. If you are a fan of Watchmen, and again, it has nothing to do with the Watchmen story. It's just these characters, and like the Question is behaving just like Rorschach. And I don't know if he behaved like that before, but he is.
Okay.
And he's investigating a murder and all this stuff. It was just really, really good, and the Frank Whiteley artwork was just spectacular. Top notch. That was my favorite book. Like I said, that's probably the single favorite issue I've read in a long time.
On sale now.
On sale now. So yeah, we should get going. We're at what? Oh, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, you're keeping it going too.
You're rambling. So next week's a big week. Cause I was sitting here earlier. I think you guys were talking about maybe the Flash that I hadn't watched. And I was counting. And
was this when Pat was boring you?
Yeah. No, Adam was actually.
No, that was
either one of us. I think we all bore him.
And there's a ton of stuff coming out. Now, not a lot of big books, but just a ton of stuff coming. But just some, and the problem is, like, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, all new Invaders 12. You know, not really gonna point out that. But we have Arkham Manor 2, Dawn of Planet of the Apes, a new Planet of the Apes book, Deathlock 2 and Deathstroke 2. So it's a good week for death.
How did the first one do?
Thanos is pleased.
It was okay. It was a little generic.
I mean, did it sell well here?
Not particularly. I mean, it did okay, but like if I ordered 25, I maybe sold
IDW?
15. I think it is. No, it might be Boom.
Okay.
I think it's Boom. Mimetic. It's just a little three-parter. Number one was really good. That was the one with the sloth and the internet meme. And people, then their heads exploding, that's type tough. Of thing.
That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Odyssey, number one. I think that's a Fraction book from Image. Previews, woo! Which also means next week previews orders are due. And
so
they might,
tell them that you
they might be due Black Friday, which is going to be just a great day to be doing data
that's
entry.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, get those into me. If there's anything you want out of previews, get it to me.
Previews
earlier.
A long time.
We just never get to it, especially with the TV shows. It's. I mean, look, we're 2 hours.
And it takes, in order to get one catalog done, it's hard to get both.
You got to kind of commit to it.
Almost takes two podcasts.
But giddy with excitement over this one, Punk Rock Jesus Deluxe Edition Hardcover.
He's giddy right now.
I'm giddy.
You'd have to see it.
I'm giddy. Rasputin, number two. Number one, I really liked.
That was good.
Yeah,
I read that after you talked about it. I liked it.
That was good. Scarlet Spiders, which is a... Spider-Verse book. Shadow Show, that's an IDW book. I want to say this is one that's going to be like an anthology type of thing that has different stories. And I know there's one that's coming out with a Joe Hill story, and then there's another one with another like big name in it. I wish I had more time to look at that. Superior Iron Man 2, so we're just 2 weeks apart on that. And I think Captain America and the Mighty Avengers 2 is also... Superman 36, continuing on Jeff Johns and JRJR's run. TMNT Ghostbusters sold really, really well. Number two comes out. Toe Tag Riot, I don't know what that is. It's number one.
Highlighted, so I read it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And that's about it. As far as, like, big ones. I mean, like I said, you know, there's still a ton of stuff coming. Normally I'm, like, 22 to 25 items per line on the board. And next week is 33, so just to kind of give you an idea, there's a lot of stuff coming next week. Huh. So, next week will be the day before Thanksgiving, so I'll probably definitely tease my Thanksgiving or my Black Friday sale if I have it figured out by then.
I would hope so.
Not always.
Figuring out Thursday night?
Generally, yes.
Flying by the city?
Yeah, pretty much. So that's about it. Read some books, watch some cool TV, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's a podcast.
See ya.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 6-1. Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when